about. You gotta put it in perspective.
Do you feel this vehicle is safe for highway travel?
Yes, I do. Yes, I really do. I believe that. I know it's not pretty to look at, but it'll get you where you want to go.
Now, you got no outside mirror.
No, we lost that.
You have no functioning gauges.
No, not a one. However, the radio still works. Funny as that may seem, with all this mess, that the radio is the only thing that's really working good, and it's as clear as a bell. Don't ask me how.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G. Ah!
Oh, look at my African-American over here. Look at him. Are you the greatest? You know what I'm talking about?
I'm sorry for the realness.
And I read that and I was all, huh? And then I was like, ah.
And then she goes, what?
And then I go, huh? He was like, what? And I'm all, no.
I did not understand any of what you just said.
Have you seen Kevin anywhere?
He's not here.
What do you mean he's not here? His team manager, he has to.
I know, right?
The one called Smelly Hippie is right.
Fridays are for suckers.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Is Don on the phone?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
What is even happening?
Roll another one.
What is going on?
Just like the other one.
Is it butt stuff?
This one seems to be about to quit.
She's a butt biter.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
I'd call that a big yes.
Roll another one.
Go home to mommy.
Just like the other one.
We're all just people.
This one seems to be about to end.
I've got a bad feeling about this.
I don't have another cent.
Being from Tennessee, are you as big of a fan as Paramore as I am?
Stranger danger, stranger danger.
Just pass it around.
I'm just saying, why don't you say less?
Well, don't bogart that joint, my friend.
I do not understand what is going on right now.
Well, just pass it on down.
And now.
I've never wanted to like something more in my life. I don't.
Okay, what specifically do you not like about it?
Specifically? All of it?
Our feature presentation.
Yeah, we get that a lot.
Yeah.
Happens a lot. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday morning, the 10th of June.
So, the news, right?
Right?
The news. The effing news.
Oh, so much news.
Don't get me started on the news.
I won't.
I watch the news because I'm a kid.
You're a kid, right. Mm-hmm. Look, I get that there was an earthquake. I know that there was an earthquake. I understand. A 5.2 earthquake, 13 miles from Borrego Springs. It's in eastern San Diego County. Minor damage, no injuries, okay? And it's a couple of aftershocks. That's it. That's everything there is to say or care about or know about the earthquake, okay? Not according to the news.
We have breaking news to tell you about a 5.2 earthquake jolted Southern California this
week. Okay, is it breaking news if it happened 4.5 hours ago, first of all? Can I start with that?
Well, it's more of a developing story.
I would think so, too.
Yeah.
Thank you, Allie. That's
You're
far
welcome.
More accurate. Mm-hmm. I don't get that it's breaking news unless their thought is, well, people are just getting up now and turning on the TV, but it's still not breaking news if it happened that long ago, right?
And if they weren't live on it, you know, they didn't break into programming 4 hours ago because no one was there.
Exactly.
They do consider it breaking news because you're just waking up.
It could be breaking news for 3 days in a row, though. Nonstop
yeah,
coverage.
It's true.
So I've already had an assful of Channel 2, and we're like 4 seconds into the story. And they haven't even gotten to the lady describing what it felt like for her. So you can tell I'm about to become enraged.
Yeah, a lot of people felt it, too. It hit just after 1 a.m. The epicenter, about 13 miles north-northwest of Borrego Springs. That's San Diego County. And CBS 2's Jasmine Veal is live this morning. She is in Lake Elsinore.
Okay, now I already told you everything you need to know about the earthquake in 5 seconds, okay?
But maybe she has more information sure she's on the ground, Bean.
This poor lady who had to go to Lake Elsinore. And by the way, since I recorded this just after 5, she's already been in 2 more live stand-ups from the same location. What is this poor lady going to talk about all day?
Well, obviously something big went down in Lake Elsinore. They're not just going to send her there for nothing.
Let's find out.
And she's got some new information. Hey, Jasmine.
Good morning, you guys. Well, we do live in earthquake country, right? Oh. You have to remind yourself about...
Oh,
I forgot until I just...
You know what?
Right?
Thank you, Jeff.
That was helpful.
About that when we feel these shakers. This one was strong and shallow, and it really was felt in about a 200-mile radius from where it hit there in Borrego Springs. It shook people for about 10 seconds. It was a 5.2 magnitude.
Okay, they're already repeating information, by the way. We're now 42 seconds into the report.
Even this AM PM, the cashier inside told me the signs over the cigarette counter started swinging back.
What? The sign started swinging
terrifying.
Over the cigarette counter?
Oh, I hope he gets to tell us.
I hope there's video. I hope there's surveillance video from inside the convenience store that they can show.
Back and forth. It woke a lot of people up, including this woman.
Okay. Now.
Love it.
Why are they talking to this woman? Allie, you worked in the news for a long time.
Yeah.
Why are they talking to this woman about what the earthquake was like for her? Did she lose her house?
I guarantee she was walking into that AM PM, the only person, and she's like, did you feel it? Great. Shove that mic in her face because she needs a 10-second soundbite that they can play all damn day.
Well, let's see what she's bringing to the party.
My house is shaking really bad, so I decided, oh, we have an earthquake, so it was time to go open the door and...
Okay, her house was shaking bad, mm-hmm. So she decided
right.
that they were having an earthquake,
right.
So she opened the door, okay?
Right.
Okay.
This is good stuff. Now, again, Kevin, as you have pointed out many times, you know what you do at this point? You should go, well, this lady has nothing to offer to the story, so let's not use her.
So move on, right.
Right. Instead, no, let's let her talk more.
I say, we had an earthquake. I called my husband. He wake up. He was ready to go.
Oh, so you called your husband after the earthquake to let him know you woke him up. Okay, thanks. Thanks, lady.
Upstairs, because I was on the first floor, and I was by myself.
Uh-huh.
Oh, no.
And also check out this from Jesse Olvera in La Quinta. He took this photo of his shattered...
Oh, hold on a sec. It sounds like we got some serious damage here, you guys. Is this a bunch of houses falling down the hillside into the sea? Let's find out.
Photo of his shattered mirror in his bathroom. So a little bit of damage at some other homes.
Is she excited that there's a little bit of damage?
Trust me, if they had an accompanying photo, she was stoked. She called into the stage. She's like, I've got a picture of damage. We're good.
She's got a damaged boner.
Yeah,
that's what she's got.
The mirror had fallen down, and it looked like maybe, I don't know, some soap and some hand sanitizer and a towel or something were on the floor, okay? It was hardly the apocalypse.
Right.
It was just...
Bean, I'm very concerned.
Why? Because we're a minute 13 in, and we're not even halfway done with the story?
Well, now I can't stop thinking about the first lady. Why is she sleeping on the first floor and her husband's on the second? What is happening with their relationship?
Good thinking.
You're welcome.
Wow. Another good follow-up that Jasmine missed out on, I guess.
Strong roller shook things right off the wall there. Also, the shelf around 1:04 a.m. And then you had several aftershocks of a magnitude 3 or greater. One just getting picked up at about a 3.5. Also, home security cameras captured some of the moving as well.
Of
and
course.
The pool outside in the driveways.
Whoa.
Oh, a ripple in a pool. That's
ripple
huge.
In a pool is
huge video.
Huge. Yeah, they love that.
Yeah.
The quake hit right in the middle of the San Jacinto Fault, which is the most active fault in California. No injuries or any kind of significant damage. We're just talking about a few things, again, falling off the wall or the shelves.
But that's not going to stop me from being out here every 10 minutes all day long today from this location. All right, there's one more thing coming up that I'm excited about sharing.
But fire departments in Riverside County, for example, were standing by with engines to respond.
By the way, they didn't respond. They didn't have to respond, but she just wanted to let us know that there are still fire departments standing
They were
by.
Ready.
They're ready.
They were
ready.
Just in case they were ready.
Right.
You can see the recording of the quake.
Okay, this is my last thing. What's that all about, Allie, where they show you the little squiggle in the earthquake monitor over and over and over again so that you can see straight line, moving line?
It's just a visual. People need it. People need to see
that
line move. Otherwise, how do I know there was an earthquake until I see that squiggle jolt?
Maybe this thing is a hoax.
Yes.
I don't understand what that adds to my understanding of geology, is that I can see the squiggle on the line.
We picked that up on our seismograph here at CBS2. Also, maps you're going to see from USGS showing the intensity of the quake. According to people reporting in, if they felt it in many areas, indicating they're in blue. blue, the moderate intensity, and you can.
Okay, I can't even. It goes on and on and on.
I haven't heard enough.
I think there's nothing to tell though. There's no story here.
My favorite are always the phone calls.
Yes.
When people call, my Hummel collection shook. Any damage? Nope. Okay. Thank you so much. But they'll still talk to that person for another 3-4 minutes.
But at least, look, at least they do that within 5 minutes of the earthquake, where you still kind of don't know. You haven't gotten the report yet on where it is and how intense it is. And that's a kind of a way to reach out to the community and find out how far out it got spread, where it was worse. At least at that point, it really is a developing story. Now it's nothing. It's nothing. It's history at this point.
I feel like I don't watch the news because I'm a kid, and you watch too much news. I feel like you watch news all the time.
So. It is possible that I need to back away from the TV.
Yeah, I think you'd be happier.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I know I'm new here, but as far as I can tell, people who don't even know you think you're an asshole.
I like it.
Dave Koechner is going to be on the program today.
I love Champ.
Love him. We have John M. Chu in studio, the director of Now You See Me 2.
That's where that clip was from.
That's right. Brand new Internet Roundup on the program today. Mm-hmm. We have Movie Beat because it is Friday. We have another edition of How Does the Story End?
Ooh, I'm very excited about that.
And we talked to Stephen Amell, who, of course, is the Green Arrow. And he's also
a boyfriend.
And he's also in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
You love him.
Kevin's
boyfriend.
See, because I like Arrow on the CW, so I watch it.
Right. So he's your boyfriend.
Correct.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. That makes perfect sense.
That's how his mind works.
So. Okay.
We will take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
Ralph is out today, so Allie will be filling in on Showbiz. But before we turn it over to you, Allie, you know our friend Lou Thomas, who does such great work.
Sure.
Kevin and Bean listener Lou Thomas, he's always right there at the ready to make a fitting tribute song to numerous things that have happened on the show recently. And I think he did an outstanding job with this tribute to Allie McKay.
Oh, dear.
All right.
What was that movie where Halle Berry was in it? Was that
Catwoman?
No. And the guy.
What about that other movie?
The guy that dated Madonna, the older gentleman, but now he's been married to the same woman forever.
We're not going to give you credit for whatever this is.
Stop listing celebrities and relationships, hoping you'll stumble into a movie.
Bull Durham? I know. You're talking about Bullworth.
Warren Beatty.
Warren Beatty.
He was a congressman.
He was not a president.
Oh. Yeah.
All right, here's the...
Was Peter Sellers a president?
Okay, shut up!
Buckle up and hold on tight, because it just might take all day. It's a never-ending journey on the train of thought, McKay. There's a lot of words and people, lots of places, dates and times. This adventure that we call the hamster wheel of Allie's mind.
It's beautiful. That is beautiful. That is very sweet.
That was dramatic.
Uh-huh.
And
it was.
I'm touched.
I do feel like he nailed it, that your mind is like a hamster wheel.
It really, there's a lot of stuff and none of it really connecting, so that's why I need you guys. It's important that you're around. Yeah, it does frighten me, Bean, that I will mention things that most people will never get. And you're the one that usually responds with
Don't try to drag me down into your dementia.
No, I'm saying I turn into Kevin, yet you're the one that gets what I'm saying. So what does this mean?
Well, it means I have a lot of experience trying to translate what people say on this show into English. That's what it means.
How is everything coming back on me? Yeah. That was a pure Allie McKay moment.
You're right.
Thanks
projecting.
Thank you, Lou Cat. Very great job, as usual. We appreciate that. All right, 5:56 is finally Friday, you guys. What else is going on, my dear?
Well, because people have to deal with me for a while, I want to give you something. I want to give you a 4-pack of VIP backstage tickets to K-Rock's Brewfest.
Yay!
Oh, the kids love it. But you have to be 21 to win. It's all going down tomorrow. VIP package includes beer garden and concert.
Hold up your beers if you're drinking.
Beer garden and concert admission, 2 drink tickets, a racing program, and tip sheets, and you get VIP backstage and wagering area access. Infield opens at 11. First race starts at noon. You can join Stryker, Omar, Dave the King of Mexico, Beer Mug, Lightning, Super Steve, and Chip. and live music from 80s tribute band Knight Rider. So if you call right now, be the correct caller, let's say caller 10, at 1-800-520-1067, you are going to get that four-pack of VIP backstage tickets to K-Rock's Brewfest going on tomorrow, the infield at Santa Anita. All right, some showbiz. We all kind of saw this coming, and who knows if it'll happen, but Princess Paisley Park Complex may be turned into a Minnesota Graceland. The rap says Bremer Trust, a local bank that was named special administrator to Princess Estate, wants to spend some money, hire some experts who can come up with a plan to open the grounds and make it public. Obviously, a lot has to go on before then. They have to determine the taxes that had to be paid before he had passed away, apparently. He wasn't real good at keeping track of taxes. Plus, he's got to give money to his family. Mm-hmm. He has to determine who is his family.
Right.
So this could all take a very long time. But if that did happen, is that something you, I know Bean, would most likely go?
If I were within 200 miles of Minneapolis, I would absolutely make a special trip to drive up to the Prince Museum. Sure.
Within 2 miles.
2 miles?
But I would be interested.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I haven't been paying attention and keeping up with Miley Cyrus, so I'm sure Bean will have something to add to this. But apparently she's back with Liam Hemsworth full time?
Yeah, apparently so, yeah.
Well, sources are now saying that they'll be tying the knot on the beach in the groom's native home of Australia, and they have their heart set on a summer wedding.
Huh.
Bean? Okay.
What?
You didn't know that?
I didn't know they were talking about getting married, no.
Yeah.
I mean, they were engaged last time they were together and broke up. I didn't know that the engagement was back on, just that the relationship was back on, but good for them.
Well, according to Us Weekly, word is their parents are doing most of the work, so planning the grand affair has been really easy. Plus, I guess if you already planned it before, you just change up some dates, whatever.
I love Miley Cyrus, as you guys know. I think she is awesome.
Yeah.
But exhausting to be around for as
is
much
she?
Time as you'd have to be. I would imagine.
I would think.
I would think so, too.
I like her in small doses, I think. I would love to be friends with Miley Cyrus. I would never, ever, ever want to be more.
Can you imagine them being friends?
No.
Like, what would they talk about?
Nothing. They would sit there for like 25 minutes without a word, and then she would stand up and walk out. Oh, that's true. You would talk.
And Miley
you
never
would talk
stops
for
25 talking.
Minutes.
Miley never stops talking. I think it would be a lot of fun to hang out with Miley Cyrus. But again, I wouldn't want to wake up the next day and go, hey, I'm spending another whole day with Miley Cyrus. You know what I mean? Like, limited dose, I think, would be enough for me.
Let's role play for a second. I'm Miley. You just met me. What's the first thing you say to me?
Please put your tongue back in your mouth.
Oh. Ah! That was my Miley.
And then what?
Yeah, then what? Scene.
I haven't really gotten past that. Yeah,
Well, I just feel like you said you'd have a ton to talk about.
I feel like we would. Look, I mean, she loves music, for instance, and she's very involved in a lot of things, social issues. I think it'd be fun just to talk about.
Define fun.
Look, I don't know how my friendship with Miley Cyrus is going to play out.
We do, though. That's what we're saying.
I'm going to take it as
we know it would be horrible.
Good luck to Liam or Chris or whichever Hemsworth she's marrying.
Whoever. All these stars were born today, June the 10th. Comedian Bill Burr is 48. Actor
Bill Burr.
Bill Burr.
Bill He's the Burr. Best.
Bill Burr.
He's the best, right?
He's the best.
Actor DJ Qualls is 38. Actor Shane West, 38. Lily Sobieski is 33. What a great name.
Yeah.
Lily. What's your name? Lily. Lily. Oh, Kevin. Model Kate Upton is 24.
Yeah. Got some plans later today. You know.
Really?
Oh, yeah. You know, how we do.
Like what?
Yeah, well, you know, like last year.
Are we role-playing again?
Remember like last year when Kate and I did the big birthday celebration today?
I don't.
So it's a lot
What
like
did you
that.
Do? Like how many people
like
were there? What
it was
kind
just
of food
really
did you
just
have?
The two of us.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was like a private dinner?
I explained all this to you. How am I going to have to repeat it all?
I don't remember it.
Yeah.
All right.
I came out of how I'm the one living in the rich fantasy world with Miley Cyrus.
I came out of a cake. It was a lot of good stuff. You'll
Best
have to fill in the blanks
ever.
With the rest.
Now that's all I want for my birthday. I'm Allie McKay in for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
We love movies here on this program. In fact, Stephen Amell from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles on the program next hour. John M. Chu, the director of this weekend's Now You See Me 2, on the program in the 8 o'clock hour. And our old friend David Koechner from lots of our favorite funny movies joins us in the 9 o'clock hour. So all that is still coming up here on this Friday edition of the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, in for Ralph Garman with the movie beat is our old friend Matt Atchity. He's the editor-in-chief of Rotten Tomatoes. Matt, how you been, man?
Good. So great to talk to you guys.
Great to talk to you as well. Do you you live in Southern California now, or are you still out there in Texas?
No. I live in Southern California.
Where exactly? What's your address? Okay.
Yeah, Allie's coming by this weekend.
Don't tell her.
Let's barbecue.
So, Matt, this has been the summer of sequels and the summer generally of disappointing sequels. And I'm curious to see if that trend is going to continue this weekend, because we got a couple of that you want to talk about. And we're going to start with The Conjuring 2.
And we're going to start with The Conjuring 2.
Oh, sorry. I thought we were waiting for a clip.
Oh, I'll play it. Usually we set up the clip, but I'll play it first.
Here. So The Conjuring 2 is the same couple from the first film, played by Patrick and Vera Farmiga. Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga. Ed and Lorraine Warren, they are real-life paranormal investigators who looked into the Amityville Horror House. The events of the first film, they are thinking about getting out of the business because it's just too intense, but they get kind of drawn back in for one more go for a British family who has a haunted house where there may or may not be a poltergeist.
Okay. And here's the clip.
They're calling it England's Amityville. There is a family that desperately needs our help.
This one still haunts me.
Does it feel like the voice is coming from inside you?
More like it's coming from behind me.
Janet, are you all right?
Stop calling me Janet.
She's such a good girl. What's it wrong with her?
An oppressing spirit will try to force you to commit the ultimate sin.
And what's that?
Murder?
Uh-oh.
Suicide?
Uh-oh.
Or both?
Now, Matt, there's always an audience that will go to all the horror movies. Is this one good enough for the rest of us to go?
Yes, this movie is scary as hell. It's so good.
Fantastic.
Absolutely loved it. This one, James Wan plays the audience like a violin in this. It's really, really atmospheric and creepy. It's got a lot of good scares in it. This is not the kind of scary movie that has a bunch of gore in it, although James Wan has done those kinds of films before. Mm-hmm. This is one that really kind of uses atmosphere and tension and sound design to really, really scare you. And he will set up these moments where you're convinced something's going to jump out, and then sometimes you actually don't get that. He plays with the timing. It also helps that this is a movie where you actually really kind of legitimately care about the characters. So it raises the stakes. The tomato meter is at 74% for this.
Wow.
This is a must-see. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Fantastic. All right. Another sequel in theaters this weekend, and we've got John M. Chu coming in to join us later on the show, is Now You See Me 2. I didn't know the world was waiting for a sequel to that first movie, but I guess it did pretty good business, right, Matt?
Yeah, the first one did really good business, although it didn't do very well with the critics. Most everybody is back for this film except for Isla Fisher, who was pregnant at the time of filming, so they've replaced her with Lizzie Kaplan, who's playing a new character. But Jesse Eisenberg and Woody Harrelson and Dave Franco are all back. As are Morgan Freeman and Michael Caine.
Wow, what a cast.
Yeah, it's this huge cast. Daniel Radcliffe is in this movie as somebody who is bad at magic. A little bit of stunt casting there. right? So this finds the Four Horsemen kind of back in the scene, and they get lured into working on something for a tech guru who kind of has some dirt on them, and they need to clear their name.
All right, let's get a little bit of that.
Now the greatest magicians in the world are my magic trick.
We jumped off a rooftop in New York.
Where the hell are we?
The man of time!
We landed in China.
How is this possible?
Yes, you were lured into a trap.
Ta-da!
This is the key to every computer system on the planet.
I'd want you to steal it for me.
You people are still going to play your little games.
I know you will.
Nice. And Woody Harrelson has a twin brother, too, right, Matt?
Yeah, he does. He does. And the critics don't like this one, unfortunately. They're saying that this one suffers some of the same problems the first one does, which is, it uses special effects to kind of perpetrate these magic tricks. Mm-hmm. And it really, that's kind of what magicians do in real life.
Right.
But when you're using what we all kind of know as moviegoers, we're kind of savvy and we can spot, we may not be able to see, that's CGI, but we can kind of tell when something isn't even close to real, and right. So it takes a lot of the quote-unquote magic away for the critics. This one's even worse about that. They say that it's got so many twists and turns, you kind of stop being able to follow the plot in this one. So they're pretty disappointed. It's rotten at 34% on the tomato meter.
34? That's more than I usually get for the movies I see.
Well, yours are usually right around
the
four.
Wheelhouse is 18 to 24 for me.
All right. And finally, I don't know much about Warcraft, but I do know I am intrigued anytime Duncan Jones is the director. He's the guy who blew us all away with that movie Moon a few years ago. Also David Bowie's son, of course. And I'm fascinated because he has pretty quirky taste. What's the deal on Warcraft, Matt?
So Warcraft is based on the series of video games, and really specifically the first one in the entry in the franchise. It's really kind of a refugee story about this group of orcs, these monsters that their homeworld is dying. They go through a portal into this new world, and they're going to colonize it and kind of make it their new home. But, oh, wait, there's people that live there, and they are not particularly excited to have these new monsters coming in. And so war and craftiness ensues.
Our world is dying. There is nothing to go back to. If our people are to survive, we must make a home here.
If we do not unite, our world will perish.
This doesn't need to happen. There is one who may help us.
For orcs, there is no other life but war. No, but with the humans' help, there could be.
Why are you here?
To save our people.
Dude, all right.
All right, so here's the thing with this movie. If you have not played this kind of strategy video game or any games along this line, or if you don't read a lot of fantasy or go into this movie stone-cold sober, you're going to hate it.
Okay.
But, you know, I've played some of these games in the past or similar type games. I read a lot of fantasy fiction. And
you're never stone-cold sober.
And I had a couple of very strong drinks before the movie, full disclosure. And I kind of like this movie. I got in a huge argument with some critic friends of mine about it. Most of the critics don't like it. They say they can't follow what's going on. It doesn't make a lot of sense. The CGI doesn't look great. I will say one of the problems, to me the biggest problem with this film, is that the characters, these orc characters, are completely CGI, and their faces look real, real similar. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit hard to tell them apart sometimes. I kind of liked this movie, but I'm definitely in the minority.
Okay.
It's 24% on the tomato meter, so right in your wheelhouse.
Perfect.
That's perfect for you, Kevin.
Yeah.
Exactly. But, hey, like I said, you know, have a couple of drinks, and it's a whole lot more fun.
I mean, if I have to.
I think that's good advice for a lot of films. All right, so The Conjuring 2, Now You See Me 2, and Warcraft all in theaters this weekend. Rotten Tomatoes for almost 20 years has been our favorite site online for tomato, the tomato meter for film and now TV, of course. Matt Atchity is the editor-in-chief. Follow him on Twitter at @MAtchity. Great to catch up with you, my friend. We'll do it again next time.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you. K-Rock Festival Flyaway 2016. Still doing that. 9 o'clock this morning. Get qualified for destination number 3, which is Weezer Panic at the Disco at Summer Sonic Festival in Tokyo. And you win tickets to see them when they come later this summer to the Irvine Meadows Amphitheater on August 6th. Get all the details at krock.com. Again, 9 o'clock this morning here on Kevin and Bean. Win your tickets.
It is time for...
How does the story end, my friend? Friend. Does the story end?
I like it. Very excited. It's been a while since we had one of these.
All right. Here's the story, and then we're going to ask you how it ends, and you have to guess. There was a woman who owned a house for a long time. Mm-hmm. Her friend came over. They were going to pull up the carpet so that they could redo it.
Okay.
The woman finds underneath her carpet, to her surprise, a trap door.
Oh, God.
Ooh. Go on.
Why do you sound turned on?
Because I build a trap door in all my houses. Obvious reasons.
So she opens the trap door, and she sees steps that are built down to whatever's down there, darkness.
Oh, God.
It,
right?
I hate this
so much.
Who doesn't love bonus rooms in their house, though?
How does the story end?
This is like you push the bookcase and it turns.
Right.
And there's another room behind that room.
Right, I mean, but it's a trap door in the floor.
Yeah, that's very different.
And the steps go down and there's no light down there. And
obviously there's dead bodies.
So the question is...
Yeah.
One of the questions is, does she go downstairs or does she call authorities or somebody else? friends.
Oh, she goes. She goes downstairs.
You have to go downstairs.
Absolutely.
Look, what part of the country was this in, Kevin?
I don't know. It doesn't say.
Okay.
It doesn't say.
It's not in my experience, and I've lived all over, it's not uncommon to have a crawl space under a house so that workmen can come in and they can get to your electrical and get to other things that run the house, get to your plumbing, things like that.
Right, but this is a staircase.
Yeah, this sounds very involved. This isn't just a little, pathway.
You don't call a friend and say, hey, I just found some a trap door and some stairs that go down. Would you mind coming over and making sure?
Oh, I thought she was with her friend.
Her friend was there, okay. But she went down to find out what was in the basement.
I think that's the right call.
Look,
it's your house.
I've seen a lot of horror movies.
Yeah.
You do not go down those stairs.
Maybe that's part of the problem here. Look, this is her house that she's lived in for a long time, you said. Mm-hmm. So it's not like there's a meth lab or something down there. She would know if there was something down there that were going
on
currently. Because you would hear and smell and know.
Well, you mean if people were still working it or whatever, but how do you know what's down there in the first place?
Like the spirits of all the dead people.
Or all the dead people themselves.
Yes.
By the way, I do love that we were about two words into this news report and Allie's already thinking murder. She's already convinced somehow someone was dead. All right. So all we know is that they pulled up the carpet and there were stairs going down to the basement.
Correct.
So your first question was, does she go down?
Does she go down and see what's down there?
Absolutely.
I think she has to, yes.
Yeah.
How does the story end?
She does go down.
Okay.
All right.
It's a brave woman.
Question two.
Yes.
What does she find?
Obviously bones. Bones of a lot.
Bones
it was
McCoy?
A dungeon. It was a dungeon.
It was a sex dungeon?
I don't know if it was involved with sex, but there are definitely
that would have been awesome.
Dead people.
So dead people.
Yeah.
That's your guess.
A lot of them, too.
Bean, a lot of them.
Over 12.
Okay. Bean, what does she find when she goes downstairs?
All right. Honestly, my first thought is there's nothing down there. It's just dirt. Okay, but then I start thinking, wouldn't it be awesome? I would love this story so much if it's Fort Knox down there. I mean, she goes down there and there's $100 million of gold bars. That's what I would love the most. So I'm going to say she found something valuable beneath the floorboards.
She found a pirate's booty.
Yes. That's my guess. I'd like to lock it in, Regis. $100 million of gold bars.
How does the story end?
No. She does not find that?
No!
What about
the
dead bodies?
She does not find dead bodies either.
Oh, okay.
She finds row after row after row of shelving, and on all of that shelving are mason jars full of...
body parts.
Fruits and vegetables. The
eyeballs.
Previous owner had been canning.
Like fingers. Yay. Lots of fingers.
Peaches.
These are very
okra.
Different. These are very different answers.
Eyeballs and maybe like an animal. Like one's an animal just staring
like,
at you. Like
more like applesauce, yeah. Just a kind of a place to put the overflow stuff that doesn't fit in the pantry upstairs in the kitchen.
A baby. Bean is 100% correct. It's food. It's food.
That's bad.
So this was okay.
Now, does she? And I already know the answer. My answer to this. I mean, you got to try something.
No, you don't.
No, you
have to try.
No, you do not. That's
one of them.
No, you don't.
You have to try something.
If that stuff has been down there, so if she's lived in the house a long time and that stuff has been down there all this time, it's spoiled. It's not good. It's not still good. You don't eat it.
Come on.
Were you there?
No, but you can't.
You don't know.
But you can't put peaches in a mason jar and wait 25 years and open them up and put them on your ice cream.
Well, not with that attitude.
It's your attitude, Bean.
Right.
That's how the story ends.
106.7 K Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
Alan McKay in for Ralph Graham with another look at the showbiz beat here on a Friday. What's going on?
A little bit of bummer news to start you off.
Okay.
He's known as Mr. Hockey, one of the most legendary, most amazing hockey players of all time. Gordie Howe has passed away at the age of 88. He played 26 seasons in the NHL, which is still a record. And six.
Say
seasons,
that again, by the way.
26 seasons.
I want that to sink in when you think about the career of most professional athletes.
Yeah, unreal. Yeah,
especially hockey.
Yes.
Right.
Just crazy.
And it was a different time back then.
Yeah.
They got real hurt.
Yeah, they did.
26 seasons in the NHL and 6 seasons in the WHA, the World Hockey Association. His first 25 seasons were spent with the Detroit Red Wings, and he won the Stanley Cup with them 4 times, won 6 Hart trophies as a league MVP, 6 Art Ross trophies as a leading scorer, and was a 23-time NHL All-Star. I mean, that's insane.
Kevin, I know how you feel about the Red Wings.
Yep.
Are you still allowed to pour one out for your homie, though, if it's Gordy?
Yeah, I feel bad. Yes. Okay. Yeah, because he transcended the game.
Absolutely.
Right.
And somehow transcended the Red Wings, and that's almost impossible to do because they are the devil.
I mean, I had the hots for Steve Yzerman, so, which is weird.
That is sort of weird, but yeah. Okay.
Fine. I mean, if it was Scotty Bowman, that would be really weird. Yeah. At least Yzerman was hot. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he had a major stroke in 2014, and he passed away visiting his son in Ohio. So rest in peace, Gordy Howe, dead at the age of 88 today. Some more fun news.
Yes.
Muhammad Ali.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Still dead. Another upper story.
Yeah, sorry about that. But tens of thousands are expected to line the streets for today's procession, which will take Ali's body past some of the key sites in his life. This is all happening in his hometown of Louisville, Kentucky. That's followed by a big memorial service attended by 18,000 people at the KFC Yum Center. Actor Will Smith, Mike Tyson, Lennox Lewis, those are some of the pallbearers. And former President Bill Clinton will deliver one of the eulogies along with comedian Billy Crystal.
Is this on TV, Allie?
ESPN is streaming a ton of stuff right now, so I'm not sure if they'll take it live for the memorial. I would assume they would.
I would think so, yeah.
Live from the Yum Center. That just sounds so weird.
Well, it's the KFC Yum Center.
Sure.
Yeah.
My bad.
Yeah, it's understandable. President Barack Obama will not be there. He is attending his oldest daughter Malia's graduation today, so he will not be around. Some happy news.
All right, finally.
Comedy Central's next roast target has been revealed. Who, Kevin, do you think Comedy Central will be roasting next?
Gary Busey.
Gary Busey. No.
Johnny Asshole.
No, again, a great
Becky
great
with the good hair.
Becky is not. We don't know who Becky is yet.
Charlie Manson.
He will not be roasted.
Sturgill Simpson.
Oh, great guess. Get his album if you don't have it.
I'm Julian Fett.
Jesus, no.
Turd Ferguson.
Not Turd Ferguson. I'll just go ahead and tell you.
Okay, we're not close.
Abraham Lincoln.
It is not Abraham Lincoln. Someone on par with Abraham Lincoln, I'd say.
Okay.
Stanley!
Not Stanley.
Is it Stanley?
No. It is Rob Lowe.
Oh, Rob Lowe's a great choice. Great choice.
Yes, Comedy Central announced it yesterday. There's no date set as of just yet. But Rob Lowe said, and I quote, "What a thrill to once again be following Justin Bieber's footsteps. I look forward to a night of hilarious jokes recycled from the James Franco roast." Oh, Rob.
It's already a funny roast.
Right?
That's what I like about it is he'll bring it strong, too.
And I think he has a good sense of humor of maybe one of his past indiscretions.
Sure.
So I think he'll...
It'll all come up.
Absolutely.
So to speak.
What did he mean by that?
I'm not sure.
What did you mean by that?
Not positive.
Okay.
Well, you guys are huge Walking Dead fans, right?
Yeah, sure.
What about a show that is premiering on Sunday on AMC?
Is it Talking Dead?
It is not.
Where we break down what Chris Hardwick had to say about The Walking Dead?
That would be amazing, and I'm sure that's coming. But this is a show centering around Norman Reedus, who, of course, is Daryl Dixon on the show. It is called Ride with Norman Reedus. Unscripted, and he wants to take people on a journey. Let you feel like you're on a motorcycle ride.
Okay.
Ride along with him.
So you ride your own? You ride on the back of his?
Just watching, like from a couch, maybe an easy chair.
I see. Okay.
But he will take you on this road trip, and he says that's the whole point. When you take a road trip with somebody, you know them so much better at the end of the trip. You wind up having conversations you wouldn't have otherwise. It's like you're talking to a bartender or a priest. Or a therapist.
Huh. Look, I don't know. I mean, travel shows, sometimes they're good. Sometimes they're super boring. But I will say this. As much as I love Daryl on The Walking Dead, think he's a terrific character, I don't believe Norman Reedus has that compelling a personality.
he does not bring it home. You know what I mean? So I'm concerned about him hosting a show like this.
So you don't want to go on a ride with Norman Reedus?
I don't think so. Okay. I think I'm out.
All right, Kevin?
Absolutely.
Absolutely in.
Not.
Oh dear. Well, for anyone else, it's debuting on AMC on Sunday night. Ride.
Okay.
With Norman Reedus. If you're into some new releases, great releases today. Band of Horses, Why Are You Okay? Diarrhea Planet, Turn to Gold, Fits and the Tantrums, Garbage, Strange Little Birds, which Chip listened to on the way in, said it's great. You listened to it when it was streaming last week, right, Bean?
Yes. Garbage is, you know, they're always great. This album's just the latest.
Absolutely. Nick Jonas, Last Year Was Complicated, Sean Colvin and Steve Earle, Colvin and Earle. So a lot of great stuff. All right, let's get to some birthdays. All of these stars were born on today, June the 10th. Comedian Bill Burr is 48. Actress Lily Sobieski is 33. Shane West is 38. DJ Qualls, also 38. And model Kate Upton is 24. I'm Allie McKay. And for Ralph Garman,
what? Is there no bell for Kate Upton?
Sorry.
What the hell's going on here?
I'm multitasking. My bad.
All right.
You were right to point that out.
Yes, you were. I accept your score.
I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, welcome to the Showbiz Beat.
We're going to talk to the Green Arrow later this hour, you guys. Actor Stephen Amell is going to be joining us. Also talking about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. That is coming up. First, though, how about a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup? Hit it, Steve.
Yeah, brace yourself up. Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your feeling. Laugh so hard that you'll start spewing. It's Kevin and Bean's, yo, Internet Roundup.
Wow.
Yeah, that is.
Mugs we're hearing right there?
That's gangsta.
That is a
fire
classic.
Beer mug.
Right? Hey, Dave, the King of Mexico. How are you, my friend?
What's up?
Got a good batch of Roundup videos, all the best viral videos of the week. You can see them at krock.com or kevinbean.com. My favorite video of the week, we're not going to play audio from, but it's a shepherd in Spain who fell asleep leading his flock to a pasture where they were going.
I'm so tired of shepherds falling asleep.
He fell asleep, Kevin, and the sheep, 1,300 of them, just kept walking. And they just kept walking down the road and right into town. So here you are in the middle of a city with hundreds and hundreds of sheep just walking into the town out of nowhere.
Wait, hold on. Aren't sheep supposed to follow the shepherd?
Yes, but when the
shepherd
stops...
So they should have all fallen asleep.
Yeah, exactly. When the shepherd stops giving directions, they just kept going the last direction they told him to go. I just think that is an amazing video.
Dumb sheep are the worst shepherd ever.
Both.
Okay. All right, Kevin, you got a little bit of redemption. You are now no longer the worst who ever threw out a first pitch at a Major League Baseball game.
I'm not positive that's true.
Snoop Dogg was throwing out the first pitch at the Padres game the other night, and he almost hit an innocent bystander. Here's the play-by-play.
Snoop Dogg, who threw out the ceremonial first pitch, and camera operator in harm's way over there.
Describe that pitch, Kevin.
Well, from the catcher's point of view, it was high and left so far that he had to stand up and reach over and still couldn't get to it.
Yeah. Nowhere close.
And then the
Nowhere
ball close. Hit, like it looked like the cameraman's leg or something.
Yeah.
It was away from the plate by
It was high and inside.
By 15 feet?
Oh, yeah. It was like 15 feet out. Yeah,
yeah, at least he didn't fall down, Kevin.
Yeah, I did it twice and fell down. So.
Here's a kid. This kid who set his crotch and his pants on fire, Dave. What's he trying to do? Is he trying to do a drink on fire thing? Is that
he's trying to light a cigarette with no hands using? He's trying to bend over, and I don't know why he was doing that. Right?
Well, let's see how it worked out for him. That's them hitting him in the crotch.
His crotch is on fire.
So that's just good times for everybody, right?
Well,
right.
Let's hope that's Darwin's way of saying no babies for you.
Yeah.
Alcohol fire is the best, though.
Right?
Yeah.
You got to hate it when you're driving down the road and you're belting out at the top of your lungs your favorite Lil Wayne Eminem song, and then you look over to the passenger side and you realize that your friend is taping you so that he can put it up on the internet. That's what happened to this dude.
I've got ice in my veins, blood in my eyes, pain in my heart.
Dude! Two! Dude, got so busted. Got a couple of Game of Thrones recap videos for you. This is awesome. It's getting to the point now where you don't have to watch the show at all, and you can still talk to your friends at work about it because everybody's recapping it, including our friend Jonathan, our favorite gay hairdresser.
And then on Bear Island Shark Tank, tiny Lori Grenier is like, I'm not investing in this.
So why should I sacrifice one more moment life for someone else's war?
But then hooked on Phonics counters, and Lori totally promises to get them on QVC.
How many fighting men can we expect?
62.
And of course, Ozzyman is also doing Game of Thrones review videos, and he has his version here.
Cut to the trendy standing desk, which the High Sparrow is happy to rent out. The sly old bastard talks to Marge about her sex life. She says she's not very horny, but he's like, well, that doesn't matter, you're a baby-making factory. For King Tomo, bloody get to it.
I think he needs to do play-by-play for everything, Dave.
I agree.
I love him.
Ozzyman's awesome.
W Magazine did a roundup of a bunch of celebrities reciting lyrics from their favorite Prince songs. Elle Fanning is on this clip. Melissa Benoist, who plays Supergirl. Chris Evans. I may be a couple of others. Here they are.
You don't have to be rich to be my girl. You don't have to be cool to rule my world. Just want your extra time and your
D to the I to the A to the M. O to the N to the D to the pearls of love.
Yay!
That was Captain America.
Yeah. That was Captain America, right? A lot of people loving Prince, that's for sure. Here's a 6-year-old who really wasn't going to let his dad off the hook.
What
when
a
they
dick,
got
the 6-year-old.
What a little what snitch, a dick. Man.
Your 6-year-old, it's your dad.
But your dad also is teaching you about how the world works. And what's the message you send to your kid, Kevin, if you just willy-nilly start running red lights?
Well, I'm sure it wasn't on purpose, but you don't want your 6-year-old to call 911 and say my dad ran a red light.
Well, that's exactly what happened. Here's part of the 911 call.
911 is Sandy Quarter. What's your emergency?
Daddy went past a red light.
He did?
Mm-hmm.
Can I talk to him?
Yeah.
Hello? Hi, Quincy Police.
Oh, no. I'm just going to apologize. That's my 5-year-old son.
Just want to let us know you ran a red light.
Oh, no. I apologize.
No problem. As long as everything's all set.
911 operator lets him off the hook, man. Doesn't send out a team to arrest the guy.
No kidding.
Stupid kid.
Wow, dumb kid. What a dick.
There's a charity that I am unfamiliar with that goes by the acronym, yeah, of J-H-P-I-E-G-O. It stands for something, but this is an organization that is trying to get to health care to poor places around the world. So a bunch of celebrities, including Will Ferrell and Amy Schumer and a bunch of others, are doing a PSA for it for Funny or Die, and they all try to pronounce that acronym. None of them can.
J-H-P-I-E-G-O. I'm being told that this is an acronym. Johns Hopkins. In every guy's orifice. So, does that make anything clear to anyone?
As usual, Will Ferrell explains things well. Honest Trailers is back. This week they did Zootopia.
Judy Hopps. Get it? Because she's cinema's most likable meter maid. Actually, cinema's only likable meter maid. Because seriously, meter maids are the worst. I mean, come on, I was only in there for like 5 minutes. And no, you haven't written the little ticket yet, because I can see your stupid little machine right there. Get a real job, lady.
My mommy says she wishes you were dead.
So do I.
They do such a great job with that. We were just talking about Norman Reedus from Walking Dead. Part of his publicity for his new TV show that debuts this Sunday night at AMC is he did a video with Esquire magazine where he is an intern in the office, and he really isn't a very good employee.
While I was doing the coffee rounds, I guess he just snuck up on me. Norman's a dick. I can't feel my nipples.
What do I think of the other interns? Hey! You're a jerk.
Right? you don't want him working in your company. And finally, Dave, should I be familiar with Dan Bull? I'm not.
I've never heard of him. But
he has a new video out called F Everything, and this video is really worth watching. Of course, we had to beep the word F 1,000 times to even be able to bring you this clip, but it's hard to think of something this guy doesn't want to F.
Gongs, the beginning of songs. And you if you're not singing along. Right, wrong, ping, pong. Weak, strong, king, kong. The internet, Twitter, credit. Ridiculously quick scrolling end credit. Quick roll.
He's got a lot of issues, I guess, is what I'm saying.
F-Ping and F-Pong.
Right? Ed King and Kong. Right? You can see all of these videos and so much more at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean's yo, Internet Roundup.
I don't think I can go on, guys. I'm seeing on CNN right now that Cam Newton has announced he's retiring the dab. So we're not going to have that next season. I know. What's the point of starting the NFL season if there's going to be no dab?
You're just
going to
drop that on us like that, just out of the blue?
It's hitting me pretty hard, too. I'm in the same boat you are. It's hard for me to go on and think about anything else.
Is he going to do the Superman thing, though, where he runs around with his arms out?
That is undetermined. Don't know that yet. But the dab is dead, I'm sorry to say.
Wow.
I hope a lot of people got dabbing tattoos and now feel real good about it.
Okay, if anyone got a dabbing tattoo, good Lord.
We'll talk to Stephen Amell from Arrow and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles coming up in just a couple minutes. But first, I got a piece of audio I want to play, Kevin, and I think you and I are both going to be on board with this.
Okay.
Our friend Mike Rowe, who, of course, we love and love and love from Dirty Jobs, he did a commencement address. And he has two major points in this commencement address. One is something you've been saying for years, which is don't follow your dreams. How many times have you said, look, it's possible you suck. Just because you want to do something doesn't mean you shouldn't give up from doing something.
Go ahead.
That's his point one. Point two is what I've been saying, which is I think, and especially this time of year, as many people are graduating from high school, I think it's crazy the pressure that is put on so many kids to go to college when there are so many great, satisfying jobs that you can get without college. I really believe that sincerely. And Mike Rowe addresses both of those issues in this commencement address.
There are only two things I can tell you today that come with absolutely no agenda. The first is congratulations. The second is good luck. Everything else is what I like to call the dirty truth. Which is just another way of saying, it's my opinion. And in my opinion, you have all been given some terrible advice. And that advice is this. Follow your passion. Every time I watch the Oscars, I cringe when some famous movie star, trophy in hand, starts to deconstruct the secret of their success. It's always the same thing. Don't let anyone tell you that you don't have what it takes, kid. And the ever popular, never give up on your dreams.
This is exactly what you're saying, Kevin, because Halle Berry was beautiful and talented enough to win an Oscar doesn't mean that you're either of those things.
I give you all of the people that are early in American Idol who are convinced that they're going to be – they need to give up that dream because they blow.
Yep, and I think Mike Rowe feels the same way about that particular show.
Look, I understand the importance of persistence and the value of encouragement, but who tells a stranger to never give up on their dreams without even knowing what it is they're dreaming? I mean, how can Lady Gaga possibly know where your passion will lead you? Have these people never seen American Idol? Year after year, thousands of aspiring American Idols show up with great expectations only to learn that they don't possess the skills they thought they did. What's really amazing, though, is not their lack of talent. The world's full of people who can't sing. It's their genuine shock at being rejected. The incredible realization that their passion and their ability had nothing to do with each other. Look, if we're talking about your hobby, by all means, let your passion lead you. But when it comes to making a living, it's easy to forget the dirty truth. Just because you're passionate about something doesn't mean you won't suck at it.
Amen, by the way. In case you're,
sorry, I didn't know he was going to bring up the American Idol thing.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the perfect example of those people should not. Paula Abdul lied to those people when she told them to never give up, right?
Correct.
The little sound effects that you hear sometimes is this video has been animated. So that's what that noise is about. All right. Now I think he's going to get into the thing that I've been saying for so long, which is why get out of college and not have a career that you're passionate about and be $100,000 in debt when you could learn a trade and make tremendous money and have a lifelong of fulfilling work. And I think that's what Mike talks about here.
And just because you've earned a degree in your chosen field, it doesn't mean you're going to find your dream job. Dream jobs are usually just that, dreams. But their imaginary existence just might keep you from exploring careers that offer a legitimate chance to perform meaningful work and develop a genuine passion for the job you already have. Because here's another dirty truth. Your happiness on the job has very little to do with the work itself. On Dirty Jobs, I remember a very successful septic tank cleaner, a multimillionaire who told me the secret to his success.
Now, I was curious about this. I don't want to be a septic tank cleaner. That is not on a list of... Are you surprised to hear that a guy who became a septic tank cleaner became a multimillionaire from that?
Not at all. No.
Really?
You need your poop cleaned out of the septic tank.
Right.
And very few companies do it and do it well. So, yeah.
It's a recession-proof job.
You dig it, you say.
But let me ask you this for reals, Allie. Mm-hmm. If you met a guy, you're out this weekend, and you meet a guy, and you like him, and, hey, what do you do? Well, I run a septic tank cleaning business.
Listen.
Is that at all attractive to you?
Why not?
Or do you look at him and go, ooh, I can do better?
I am not going to lie. My parents have a septic tank. And they had to have somebody come and clean it out. I was fascinated with what they did. It's fascinating. We don't have septic tanks here. Hmm. Well, not a lot of people anyway.
Right.
So you don't really understand all that goes into it. But
right.
It's,
I know what comes out of it, though.
Yeah,
I don't want any part
of
that.
You do.
Zero.
Let's hear how Septic Tank Boy made it big.
I looked around to see where everyone else was headed, he said. And then I went the opposite way. Then I got good at my work. Then I began to prosper, and then one day I realized I was passionate about other people's crap. I've heard that same basic story from welders, plumbers, carpenters, electricians, HVAC professionals, hundreds of other skilled tradesmen who followed opportunity, not passion, and prospered as a result. Consider the reality of the current job market. Right now, millions of people with degrees and diplomas are out there competing for a relatively narrow set of opportunities that polite society calls good careers. Now, meanwhile, employers are struggling to fill nearly 5.8 million jobs that nobody's trained to do.
Think about that for a second, by the way. Do you want to be one of 1,200 lawyers applying for that job? When for no schooling or for a trade school, you can walk into a job that's going to pay just as much, that's recession-proof, that's available now. There's a tremendous competition for, there's no competition for because there's so few people going into those fields.
Yeah, how often do you meet a mason?
Right, exactly. Great example.
It's a good question.
Example. Or,
and
you know,
I know a mason that makes so much money.
Welders,
absolutely.
Drywallers, yeah, all of those kinds
because
of jobs.
Because there's no competition.
And I feel like, and we've talked about this before, and I know we got to wrap it up because we got a guest, but I feel like we've said this before, is that there's no parents out there saying to their kid, hey, why don't you think about being a plumber? You know what I mean? And I think Mike Rowe makes a really, really good point. So if we can help crush some dreams today.
Okay, so give up.
Give up on your passion and your dreams and don't go to college.
I think you can still have the passion, but make it a hobby.
Ah, yes. Make it a hobby.
Yeah.
So anyway, I don't know how you guys felt. I thought that was a speech that gave us a lot to think about from Mike Rowe. And we did put that in the Kevin Bean Internet Roundup, by the way, if you want to see it. And there's lots more than we had time to play here. So check it out.
Here's a little bit of that more.
If I could offer you only one tip for the future.
Nope, that's not. That's something
sunscreen
completely
would be it.
So sunscreen, okay. Too.
Not sunscreen.
That was Mike Rowe.
Prophets of Rage will hit the road for an extensive tour, including a stop September 15th at the Forum. I'm just reading this on KROQ.com right now, by the way. The supergroup features Rage Against the Machine. We know all that, blah, blah, blah. Oh, here you go. Tickets go on sale today, kids, at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster.com for their show September 15th at the Forum. Kevin, you were not lucky enough to be one of those who got a chance to see their little preview shows last week. So I know that you will be there.
I will be there, yes. I'll
September
be the first person there.
At the Forum. Yeah, so that's very...
I'm going
very...
right after the show today.
I don't think you're going to be the first person. I would bet my life on that.
Because I'm always late
you're
to
not,
everything?
You're not so punctual.
I will be the first person there.
I don't...
It's going to happen.
Okay, all right.
Prophets of Rage is also going to make a stop at the Republican National Convention on July 19th in Cleveland. I can't imagine very many people are going to be happy to see them. I don't think that's their crowd, and of course, that's why they're going, is they're trying to shake things up a little bit. But I wonder if they're going to do one of these deals, and we're going to have Stephen Amell on the phone here from Arrow and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in just a minute, we hope. But I wonder if it's going to be one of those deals like when they shot that Sleep Now on the Fire video. Remember when they went to Wall Street and they did it on the steps of the stock exchange?
Right.
Where they didn't have any permits, they just set up their stuff and started jamming. And I wonder if that's the kind of disruption they are hoping to take to Cleveland.
Like, they did the convention here at Staples Center. Was it the Democratic one?
It sure was.
Yeah, they did it here. And that's when Dave, the King, and I, the King of Mexico, and I both got tear gassed.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And they were shooting rubber bullets. The band was. It's so weird. No, they first of all, they wouldn't let the band turn up the sound at all.
Oh, jeez.
So, of course, all the fans were sort of upset. And then they just brought in the riot police and just started moving everybody out. But
yeah,
I didn't get hit with a rubber bullet because I'm not Mexican. But everything else happened.
What, the white guy, they just escort you back to your car?
They go, listen, sir, you need to leave.
We need to help you.
Donald Trump tells us that you need to move on.
Well, I don't know how long this supergroup is going to last because, obviously, there are a lot of other commitments, particularly for Chuck D with Public Enemy. And Be Real with Cypress Hill, but they are going on a whole tour, you know, starting July 19th, going all the way through October. So they're out on the road all summer long, and they are talking about at least releasing maybe an EP of a few new songs. So it's great news. It's exciting to have all those guys back. And of course, we heard such raves about those early shows already. So.
Yes, we did.
All right.
How
Dave,
about that? How about
what's going on with Stephen Amell? You hearing anything?
Oh, yeah. You know, usually when they check in and say, oh, everything's going to be good, that's usually when everything goes bad.
Well, we have a very limited window of available time for Mr. Amell, so we may end up missing
but
out
he's...
on...
I saw the trailer, if you want to ask me questions about, you know, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2.
You saw the trailer.
Well, you didn't see the movie.
That is helpful. And I liked the old Casey Jones cartoon. You know, that was cool.
Okay. And I think Casey Jones is a great Dead song.
Okay, unrelated to this. This
okay.
is his character, though. I mean, he is Casey Jones.
Uh-huh.
Well, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows is in theaters right now. It is America's number one film. So if you go see it, you'll have more interaction with Stephen Amell than we are today, apparently. So please enjoy.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:51.
Wow, that conversation, if you just tuned in, if you weren't listening, that conversation with Stephen Amell was fantastic.
It was riveting. I learned so much.
I thought we were good, he was great. It was a strange combination.
Yeah. It was just one of those kind of those magic radio moments you just don't get when you have a guest that you just love. You know, it's just so fun.
Right.
Or he didn't call at all.
Yeah, I'm receiving word he never called.
Oh. But we're talking to people who weren't listening then.
Oh, okay.
Right. Come on, get with the program.
Director John M. Chu is, of course, the man who was able to wrangle a lot of stars together for Now You See Me 2 in theaters. He joins us next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. And our old friend Dave Koechter is going to be here as well. We got more tickets for Panic at the Disco and Weezer that you can win. Plus, Allie in for Ralph Graham with the Showbiz Beat here on a Friday. What's going on?
Oh, you guys know Ralph and I are the biggest now. Nashville fans. We love that show. There were rumors that the show was going to come back. It was canceled by ABC. They were going to announce it on CMT during their big award show on Wednesday night. And then nothing happened. No. So a lot of people are tweeting me today. Oh my God, announce it. It's been announced. Well, no, it's just one article in the Tennessean. And they are saying that Nashville will return for a fifth season that will be broadcast on CMT and streamed on Hulu thanks to a unique deal that was reached on Thursday after weeks of negotiations, according to sources familiar with talks.
Huh.
So nothing confirmed yet. Those are unconfirmed rumors.
That sounds like a weak plan.
Nobody else has picked it up. It's just the Tennessean. But I say, hey, Tennessean, if you're right... kudos you, but nothing confirmed absolutely just yet. So let's hold off. Let's hold off our hope. But I'm still dreaming.
Same.
Right?
I sure love Kevin, that show.
Oh, you love Deacon.
Deacon when he raps.
He doesn't rap. He's a singer.
He plays guitar.
Finally just made up
sings.
With Raina.
Right.
Things are going good. It is his ex-wife, and now they just got remarried. Yeah, absolutely. And Juliet, my God, what's going to happen with her, right?
Seriously, right?
Because what happened?
She's running that bar.
She is not.
And they burned it to the ground?
No, she's actually...
Now there's no bar. What's she going to run?
No,
she... How does she serve alcohol? Out of her house? That's not cool.
She was in a plane, and they can't locate the plane.
Right.
Quite the cliffhanger. There's no bar for Juliet.
Well, I mean, not yet.
Oh.
This coming season. I'm sorry, I didn't mean... Spoiler alert, I should have said early.
Whoa, Kevin!
My bad.
Kevin has some updated Nashville news. What do you guys think of this? You know Jack White's Third Man Records in Nashville.
Yes.
I've been there.
You have?
Sure.
Well, you weren't there last night when 200 people were treated to a very special set by a little band that we call Pearl Jam.
No kidding.
Pearl Jam. 200 people got to see an unannounced show. They were in fine form, apparently. They did a 9-song, hour-long set. Holy.
That's pretty cool.
How amazing is that? And Eddie Vedder welcomed Jack White up to the stage, and they did an extended version of the unreleased Pearl Jam song, Of the Earth.
Here's a little bit of that.
Okay. Those are just Barnyard Animals.
I'm sorry,
doing
that's
White
an older
Stripes.
Song.
Yeah.
My bad.
Yeah, different.
I got
different.
It. I got it right
okay,
here.
You got it? Okay,
you got it? Imprisoning me. All that I see. After all, I cannot live. I cannot die.
Wow.
That was actually just me, very inspired, and decided to do one by Metallica.
Actually, I have
okay.
a clip of the actual
all right.
song.
I like big butts and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny. When a girl walks in with an itty-bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get sprung. Want to pull out your top, because you know the fat bubble stopped. Deep in her jean she's wearing. I'm hooked and I can't stop staring. Oh, baby, I want to get with you. And take your picture. My homeboys try to warn me, but that butt you got makes me so horny.
But that's actually, that was some recordings of Rodney.
Oh.
He was in China, apparently.
Oh, my bad.
Or Japan, doing karaoke. He was in an Asian country doing karaoke.
It was Japan.
It was Japan.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but here's the interesting thing. The Third Man team recorded the intimate show directly to acetate.
Like they do.
Like they do. So perhaps it could be released. We will wait until the Tennessean reports on it.
Where we get all our news.
Absolutely. Hey, remember yesterday when Ralph told us about Bieber getting into a scuffle?
Yeah,
maybe a kerfuffle? It was
but
outside.
He survived it, though,
he
right?
He was punching.
Bummed about that.
Yeah. It happened outside of the Westin in Cleveland, and a man named Lamont said he had met Bieber with two of his lady friends, and they were chatting, but things went south when he dared to ask Bieber for an autograph and a picture, and Bieber snapped back with, and I quote, "No autographs tonight, mother effer." But he said the F part.
What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this man, Lamont Richmond, said that Bieber reeked of alcohol, got all macho, then took a swing. Did I mention that this guy is 6'5"?
No.
And just a huge, immense man. He basically said that he restrained Bieber, and if he wanted to, he probably could have killed him if he went full force. But you know what?
Why didn't he?
We've got a clip of Lamont explaining what happened-ish.
Yo, check. The fool ran up on me. I was with the girls. We just asked the for autograph. I don't know about all this other stuff y'all talking about. No, I ain't got nothing else to say.
Well, he apparently does have something else to say because, according to TMZ, he's already met with lawyers and plans to sue.
There's also this video. It's a big fight.
Wow.
So that happened. And then
and down. Is there a round?
Surprised no one broke it up at this point.
Oh. That was
that's
quite
a haymaker
the
right there.
The
end,
yeah, I didn't have that in my story, so thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you. That is
Hey, Allie, before you wrap things up.
Mm-hmm.
Can we open up the phone lines, please, for Kevin and Bean's What's Good?
There's nothing I'd like more.
1-800-520-1067. You can call us on any topic. Don't be like Stephen Amell from Arrow, okay? Actually be a guy who gets on the phone, dials the number, and talks to Kevin and Bean. You can call on any topic you want, something going on this weekend you want to talk about. You got comments, you got questions, you got concern. There's a story in the news that we should be handling, but we're not. We want to hear from you right now. 1-800-520-1067. We'll get you on the air in moments for Kevin Bean's What's Good.
Right, like we haven't talked about how today is National Iced Tea Day. How are you celebrating?
Yeah, not that call, though.
No?
Uh-uh.
Okay, we don't want that call. No. All right. All these stars were born on today, June the 10th. We have got model Kate Upton. She is 24 years old today. Actor Shane West, 38. DJ Qualls is 38 as well. Bill Burr is 48. And Lily Sobieski is 33. I'm Allie McKay in for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Yeah, it is. And this is the part of the show where we turn it over to you at 1-800-520-1067. It's time for Kevin Meets What's Good.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify.
I got a good batch of calls here. Why don't we start with Jennifer? Line six, please. Let's go all the way out to Paris. How about that?
All right. Hey, Jennifer.
Good morning.
How are you?
Hi. What can we do for you? Hi. What's good?
I was just calling about your interview with Ivan Reitman. I don't think anybody noticed that he thanked Kevin for giving him the proper word.
Oh, I noticed. Because my eyes bugged out of my head. Do you remember what the word was?
Hey, you know what? You didn't have to fall out of your chair, Jennifer.
I did too, Jennifer.
Come on now.
You gave him the word template.
Right. That's the word he was looking for.
You, though.
I know, but Kevin.
I can't.
The king of this word.
It's tough to argue, I know,
but
Kevin. I
love that Jennifer and Allie, all they have to say is, yeah, but Kevin. But you.
But it happens occasionally.
It was a rare moment.
Right every 2 days.
All right, take it easy, Jennifer.
All right, it was a rare moment, Jennifer, and you are right to celebrate because we may not see it again in our lifetime.
Agreed.
But thank you very much for the call. We appreciate that.
Love you guys.
Thank you too. Let's go out to Rosemead, line five. This is going to be Polo. Polo, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show, my friend. What's good?
Just wondering if you guys heard about the earthquake.
Yeah.
What's
the news? We heard about the earthquake.
You know, did you guys feel it? I mean, I thought I felt something, and I didn't actually feel it.
What did it feel like, Polo?
What's that?
What did it feel like?
Well, I thought I felt something. It was kind of like a rolling sensation. I thought I was nauseous, though, so maybe it was that. But then I turned on the TV, and it was breaking news that there was an earthquake in San Diego, but...
Right.
You know, I felt it, you know, and
yeah. I'm with you. I'm with you, sir.
I got
here's the thing: is that 4 hours after the tiny little earthquake? Well, I mean, it was 5.2.
5.2 was big. San Diego, but you know,
it was a big earthquake, and it was felt over a large area, but nobody got hurt.
No, you could have felt it here, though. I mean,
you could have been jolted or rolling, but we wouldn't know because we didn't feel it.
But the point is, it wasn't a big deal.
Wait, so you're calling to say you thought you felt it, but you didn't?
Well. You know, I thought I did.
Okay. But if you watch the news, it's like Southern California fell into the ocean the way they have been doing the wall-to-wall coverage, interviewing people on the street about the gentle rolling motion that they woke up to. And it's I've had about an
ass full. Motion that I almost felt.
Okay, Paul. Okay. Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate that. Let's go to Eddie, please. He's in Long Beach. He's up next. He's on line three.
All right. Hey, Eddie.
What's good, Kevin and Bean, Allie?
What is good with you?
Hey, so I like to wash my car. You know, I work hard and everything. And when I'm washing my car, I hate it when a city employee drives by and gives you a ticket for hundreds of dollars because you're washing your car.
Oh, because of the drought?
California drought restriction.
Right. So you're saying you hate it?
I ended up starting my own thing.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I ended up starting my own thing with this waterless car wash stuff just so I wouldn't get a ticket.
Okay. And how do you wash your car without water?
Oh, there's this stuff that started like in 2013. It's a waterless car wash. You spray it on. It's got like polymers and carnauba wax and all this good stuff. And you wipe it off with a microfiber and it leaves your car looking like a showroom finish. It's actually pretty nuts. It looks awesome.
How about that? I didn't know that. And I didn't know that anyone was getting a ticket for washing their car during the drought.
Yeah, I didn't know either. So the guy comes by in a little white car and it's like a little Prius or something. And he like pulled out his camera and took a picture at me. And I'm, like, out there with my shorts, you know, my shirt off and everything.
Right, so you started posing, working
it. And I'm, like, what the hell is this guy doing? So I ran out to the street.
Eddie, tell it slower.
Tell it slower. You tell me you got a ticket in the mail.
Wait, what?
What? You sure the ticket wasn't just because he had to see you with your shirt off? You ever think about that?
Right, I mean, then it would be, like, double the fine. No, he said that, you know, ticket was in the mail, so I called the city, and they said, were you washing your car? And I was like, yeah. They go, you got a drought restriction fine.
Wow, phone's ringing. Phone's
ringing. Thank you for the call, sir.
Appreciate
that.
Call. We appreciate it.
All right, let's go to Steve in La Habra. Let's have a nice, happy moment here on the Kevin Bean Show.
All right.
Let's all celebrate together with Steve. Hey, Steve.
Hey.
Hey, how are you guys? Love the show. Just want to let you know I'm really proud of my daughter, Jessica, who just completed her first year at UCLA. And, you know, she's been a Kevin and Bean fan literally since the day she was born.
Right.
Since, you know, in the crib, driving her to school. You know, sometimes it's awkward talking to your daughter sometimes when you're sitting in the car for long periods of time.
Uh-huh.
But we can always go to what happened on the Kevin and Bean show, and we both have a great conversation after that. So I want to congratulate her and thank you guys for helping build a tighter bond with my daughter.
How about
that?
Sweet. That's so nice. Did she hear us talking about not going to college in about an hour ago?
Well, the Bills I'm getting from UCLA, I wish you would have played that about last year.
Right.
Just too late. Okay.
Well, listen, Steve, it's obvious you're very, very proud of your daughter. So congratulations to her for all of her collegiate success and for you for being an awesome dad. We really appreciate
it. Yeah, but any time before like 13, you're a bad parent for having her listen to this show.
Oh, I'd say past 13,
okay,
maybe.
Even later. Thank you,
best
Steve.
Best of both
Congrats.
Of you, Steve. Thanks so much. All right, let's do one more. This is another Steve. This is Stephen Amell, who joins us on line nine, please, here on the Kevin Beach Show. What's up, Arrow?
Not much, guys. How you doing?
We are good. Great to talk to you. So happy to have you on. Congratulations on the number one film in America, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, still in theaters, of course, Out of the Shadows. Now, this was the first big screen movie you ever did, right?
I mean, I got a chance to do a movie back in 2006. That was a BBC production. But this is, this was it. This was the first big American feature that I got to do. And it's nice that the full title is now the number one movie in North America, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows.
Yeah, no kidding. Now, I'm sure you're the Green Arrow, for God's sakes. People love you. I'm sure you've had a lot of offers over the last five seasons of things that you could have done. Why was TMNT the one you said yes to?
You know, actually, surprisingly, despite the fact that Arrow's been successful on television, you don't actually get that transfer over into films until you have a few credits. So I had to really fight for this part. Additionally, we literally make the most number of episodes on Arrow that we could make without pulling a 90210 from the early part of the 90s and just shooting through the summer.
Right.
So my window of time is very small, and movies like this have a very flexible sort of schedule.
That makes sense.
And so I actually started this movie 4 days after I wrapped season three and finished it 4 or 5 days before I started season four. So it was a real miracle that it fit into my schedule because it was not built for me. It was built for, you know, Megan and Will and Laura Linney and all the guys that play the turtles and all the different set pieces that they have to do in New York. So the fact that I was able to do this and fought for it and got it is no small feat.
How different is it to be the star of the TV show where basically it's an ensemble cast, but it's resting on your shoulders, and then you step into this movie and it's not necessarily that way?
It was different and actually incredibly beneficial to me from a career standpoint. It had been three straight seasons, and I had had other opportunities, like you had alluded to earlier, and they just either never fit into my schedule or, for whatever reason, they just didn't work. And, you know, it was very important for me after three seasons and 69 episodes of playing Oliver Queen and being number one on the call sheet to go to Turtles, where I was number seven, and to not have to work every day and to see other people work and to film in New York City, which above all else was the most important thing for me, I think, in my career as an actor. It was really nice because then when I actually got back to season four of Arrow and I thought about how curated that experience is for me, I appreciated it a lot more. So I wasn't physically rejuvenated when I got back to season four of Arrow, but from a mental standpoint, I felt the best that I had felt since I started the show.
Well, we have a lot in common, Stephen, because I also love watching other people work when I don't have to do much. It's cool. It's real cool.
It is the best.
But can I ask him before he has to go?
Yeah.
Yes.
This is very important. Know you're a huge hockey fan. Pens or Sharks? Who's winning the Stanley Cup final?
Oh, I'm going to punt a little bit on this one, and I'm going to say it really does depend on whoever wins game six. Because obviously if Pittsburgh wins game six, they close it out. It's over.
Right? Yeah.
But that's a tough loss for the Penguins last night. That's
right.
Very deflating, and they got to fly back across the country. And you know, the city of Pittsburgh is ready to plan a parade. And I mean, I was there in game four in 2012 when everyone thought the Kings were going to sweep.
Same.
Yeah.
And they lost, and then they had to go back to Jersey, and they lost. And, you know, there was a nervous energy in that building in game six, and they came through. But, you know, if the Sharks win game six, they'll have all the momentum. But, you know.
My answer is anyone but the Sharks.
Yes.
So yeah. Any other team.
Yeah, that's the thing. If my buddy Encore and Jeff are listening, they'll know that the Sharks, as fans of them, have no history of winning anything ever.
Very true. Stick with that.
In all likelihood, it will be the Pens.
Yeah, that would be
all
great.
Right.
I love that we had you on just so that we could smack talk the Sharks. That made the whole conversation
it's good.
Sometimes it's necessary.
All right. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows, America's number one film in theaters everywhere now. Go see Stephen Amell. Great to catch up with you, man. Thanks a lot for coming on. We enjoyed it.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Thank you very much.
You bet. So you get yourself an all-star cast. You get Mark Ruffalo and Woody Harrelson and Lizzie Kaplan and Dave Franco and Morgan Freeman and Daniel Radcliffe and Jesse Eisenberg. And they're all, you know, without this guy, they're all just standing around doing nothing, just sitting on their thumbs. Without the great director, John M. Chu, who brings us Now You See Me 2 in theaters everywhere this weekend. John, welcome to the studio, my friend.
What's up?
That's my first question for you is, look, you've directed a lot of movies. You've got a lot of experience in this business. You've worked with a lot of people. But that cast, you just got to wake up in the morning and go, oh, my God.
Insane, right?
I got to wrangle Morgan Freeman today?
Yeah, I mean, it was intimidating, and I had to fly all around the world to meet them to get the job.
Oh, is that
right?
Place.
Yeah. And then going in there being like, hey, I'm John. I directed the Justin Bieber movie. Morgan Freeman or Mark Ruffalo. They give you a very interesting look.
That's what you led with?
Actually, you know, Woody watched all my movies.
Is that right?
And I was
really?
Like, he watched all the step-ups that I did.
Is that right?
I was like, you know, I'm not sure they're your types of movies, but he loved Never Say Never. He was like, I'm a believer. When can I hang out with Justin?
Wow.
Oh, my God. I need that to happen. Can you make
hilarious.
That happen? Woody Harrelson
I'm
and Bieber?
I'm working on it. I'm working on it.
It needs to happen.
They're all so busy.
How hard was it getting all of them to commit to one time?
Yeah, I mean, luckily that's not my job. So
yeah.
they all love each other.
Yeah.
They did the first movie, Now You See Me, a couple of years ago, and they got along. And so this one, I think they all wanted to be back together, and it just happened, you know, everyone's doing huge movies, and it just happened that they all had this free time, and so I jumped into the driver's seat, and they were so kind, so open,
aww,
so trusting with me. I expected at least two, you know, egos,
sure,
big egos in there. None. Zero.
Zero.
Wow.
Come on, there had to be one.
I'm telling you.
But I'm saying there had to be one.
But Michael Caine's a dick, though, right, John?
Don't you ever say that.
I'm saying there had to be one.
Michael Caine would tell the best stories about all his old movies.
Oh, I bet.
Mark would be like, Jesse, they would all crowd around him to hear these stories. It was a pretty surreal set, to be on.
Yeah.
All right, here's the first thing I was thinking when I saw that they were coming out with another Now You See Me, and that is, forgive the pun, but the magic of magic is you're watching somebody do something live in front of you and you can't figure out how to do it.
Yep.
That's tough to translate to a cinema experience where we're all used to special effects and seeing sleight of hands and seeing things that aren't real happening on the screen.
Totally.
So you got to make real magic stay looking real even though it's being filmed.
Yeah, that's why I have all these new wrinkles on my face. We made a big effort in this time to really show that we're really doing the magic tricks in person because, like you said, it's the live aspect of it that makes it really work. So we tried to go, and I would say 75% are real tricks that our actors had to learn and perform.
So these actors are palming cards and doing all that stuff
yes.
for real?
Wow. Whenever they're touching that card, that's a real thing. When they throw it and we do like a crazy camera angle where it goes down their sleeve.
Down the shirt, down the pants, at the bottom.
That's a little camera trickery. But when it's physically in their hand, Dave Franco is actually palming and doing those tricks. It's
really?
Wow.
Really
crazy. And they got really good at tossing to each other.
They were throwing that card to each other for 5 minutes straight.
Yeah. I mean, it's not
unbelievable.
It's not a one-er.
It's
a thing called movie magic. We like
saying,
do takes. And
it was impressive.
But yeah,
let Kevin believe it.
And I'm not spoiling anything by bringing this scene up, but when the card goes down Jesse Eisenberg's pants, I think I saw his penis, John. Is that possible that was shot?
That is CG.
Oh, it is.
Okay. All right. No, the sequence is really cool. You know, in the movie, they're trying to steal this computer chip the size of a playing card, and so you get to see them do this heist and be with the card as it's sliding through them. So I think the audience will really love that sequence, actually.
You really film in London?
Yeah, we really
filmed in Macau.
And we really filmed in Macau, yeah.
Tell me about Macau. Now, that is part of China, right? And it's considered the Las Vegas of the East. Is that right?
Yeah, it's next to Hong Kong on an island. And it's literally like the Venetian, the Sands, they're all like right there on a strip that looks exactly like Vegas. It's very trippy.
I feel like I need to go there.
Me too.
It's pretty cool. Like you do. Is it huge? Is it a big city?
I mean, it's on an island, but there's huge buildings, and it's a very weird but beautiful place. There's Portuguese architecture, but Chinese culture everywhere, and it feels like a very mysterious, weird place. And Eong's, the magic store in the movie that we talk about,
is
in there.
Is
real?
There's a real store. It doesn't look like what we did, but there's a real Eong's that's been there for decades.
Okay, tell me about this then, and forgive me, maybe I should know this, but what's the relationship like with China allowing an American film crew to come over there? I don't feel like we have the best relationship with China right now. Were they cool?
No, they were totally cool. We partnered with a production company over there, and at Macau specifically, and they wanted us to be there, so they were very accommodating.
Oh, that's cool.
We visited and checked it out. It worked perfectly for our movie to have Daniel Radcliffe, who plays our new villain in this, be like the lord of the suites in the Sands casino there. He's walking around barefoot.
Those were pretty sweet rooms in that hotel, by the way.
Nuts, right?
That's nice.
So we got to have him there, and that was really fun.
So will you open in China this weekend too?
We open in China in a couple weeks, so I'll be there. We'll be there in Beijing actually doing a whole premiere.
Very cool.
Premiere.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice. How many of these actors and actresses were gambling while you were there? Seriously, we got to shoot a movie here, guys.
Grab Lizzie. She's downstairs.
It's interesting because those casinos, they play Baccarat, mm-hmm. and I don't think anybody knew how to play that.
So. Yeah, I don't know how to play
that's
either.
All they
that
play?
Was like most of, I would say like 80%.
Really?
It was really hard to find like
Kevin,
a poker table.
Kevin, we need to rethink our trip.
Yeah.
Or learn Baccarat.
I don't want to learn Baccarat. Though.
All right, director John M. Chu is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The film is out everywhere today. It is called Now You See Me 2. We'll talk more with our guest in a moment right after this on K-Rock. Director John M. Chu in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Behind this weekend's Now You See Me 2 in theaters everywhere starting today with Jesse Eisenberg and Mark Ruffalo and Woody Harrelson and Lizzie Kaplan and Dave Franco.
Oh, you said Woody Harrelson twice, Bean.
I did, John, and apparently that is not a secret that needs to be kept anymore. There's more than one Woody in your film.
There is. He plays his evil twin brother. In the first movie, he has this throwaway line of like, oh, the only person who can hypnotize me is my brother. So in this one, we decided to use that to our advantage. And so he plays this guy who's the opposite of Woody Harrelson.
In every way.
Has perfect white teeth.
They are so creepy.
He has a full head of hair, perfect nose, and Woody goes to town with this character.
He's
so
great.
Really crazy. How your director, your job is to make that look seamless of Woody acting with Woody,
yes.
Woody fighting with Woody
yes.
putting his arm around Woody. How difficult is that to do?
It is a lot of patience and a lot of communication to Woody so that he doesn't get impatient through it all, because he has to not just shoot the scene with our cast, but we had another actor, Brick Patrick, who actually played the other role when he wasn't on the other side, so Woody could riff, and part of the energy of our movie is that they're kind of improvising, they're kind of having fun with it, and so you have to have that person to bounce off of.
Must be somebody there,
yeah.
Right?
And then he has to go change for an hour, then do the other role.
Whiten his teeth.
And we get Brick to do the other part so he can whiten his teeth. And so it's a process, but it was something that was really fun. We got to create this vibe, and I think when you watch them together, it feels like they're live and they're bouncing back and forth naturally.
Yeah.
Oh, it's seamless. I mean, it absolutely looks like he's got a twin brother who's also an actor. I mean,
nice.
No question. Are there magic consultants on a movie like this telling you what's possible and what's not?
Yeah, that was one of the best parts, is like there's magicians all the time. So we had, you know, David Copperfield was our producer on this movie. So very early he was working with our writer, Ed. But then we have Keith Barry, who is our chief magic consultant, on the ground every day working with our writers, working with our actors. And we have Blake Voigt and Andre Geek, who have different specialties like sleight of hand and cardistry specifically, so they could teach the actors. So it was like a birthday party every day, because we have magic tricks going on all the time.
Were you one of those people that enjoyed magic? Because for me, I wasn't super into magic until I saw people doing the close-up magic, and then saw people like a Justin Willman that incorporates comedy into it. And now it's one of the most fun things to go and do or go to the Magic Castle, but I don't think a lot of people do it.
No, I think with the internet, and you can find out a lot of answers to tricks, and that sort of spoils the whole thing. But great magicians, it's not about the trick. It's about the storytelling of the trick and how you present it. And so, and I think people just need to be exposed to that more. And I, and when you watch this movie, I think you get a glimpse of that world. And, I think our movie is about storytellers and the professional liars. And you have to understand psychology. You have to understand science, technology to actually pull off these heists. So in a way, it's our Avengers movie, but they're superheroes in the mind.
Do you get feedback from, magic nerds that are out there going, hey, come on, that didn't. How could you do it that way? That's ridiculous.
Actually, this movie, they've been so kind and excited about it. And we just showed a whole bunch of magicians. And I was most scared because they would be most critical.
Right.
That's giving away secrets.
That's a terrible room. A room full of magicians.
Why do you hate?
It's a terrible room. That's just not good.
But they love the movie. And I think they saw the wonder and were very kind about it. So.
When you're filming in London, those nighttime scenes in London near the end of the film, are you actually out on a barge in the Thames?
We are definitely – like when we're shooting outdoors in London, we're definitely there. It's cold. It's dark. Luckily, London gets dark at like 3:30 in December when we're shooting. So we actually – a lot of our movie is set in the dark there. But yeah, it is cold and Michael Caine is freezing and I have to tell him he needs to keep doing more takes. So
let's do it again.
Don't kill the old man, John. Come on.
Actually, I don't tell him. He tells me when he's going to stop.
Okay. So all of those people out on the street and everything like that, I mean, is this a movie for you, the director, that you are literally wrangling? In some cases, hundreds and hundreds of extras?
Yeah, thousands sometimes.
Wow.
All out there. And luckily, in this movie with our magicians, I would just like throw out a magician to like entertain them for a while to keep them busy.
Oh, that's not bad.
We had Keith Barry like hypnotizing people because I only half believed in hypnotism. I was like, this seems like bull. But literally, I would give him tests and make those 10 people find someone to hypnotize. And he'd go right over there. He made a girl tell him a secret that he couldn't know, then forget she ever told him. Then he walked away and approached her as if he read minds and told her that secret back, and she just started crying. If there's an emotional, weird thing about what he does.
Hypnosis freaks me out, John. And we've had Kevin and I have had the exact same experience on this show. We know a guy who, you know, we did nothing but mock until he started hypnotizing people in front of us, and he's for real.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah, it's real.
Some of the stuff they did, you just go, okay, no.
Yeah.
It's too scary.
Woody got really good at it, actually.
Is that right?
Which is probably really dangerous.
Yeah, that's not good.
Right?
Yeah, Woody should not be allowed to hypnotize anybody.
Him and Bieber with the power of hypnotism is probably dangerous. But he got this reporter and he hypnotized her to believe she had a steel spine, put her head on one chair, put her ankles on another, so she's like a bridge, and then he stood on her stomach.
I've seen that exact same thing.
Uh-huh.
It blows your mind.
It doesn't look possible.
Right.
Right. Physically, it shouldn't be possible.
The body of the person laying down is like cement.
Yeah.
It's that hard.
Rigid.
And it's unbelievable. Yeah. Until I saw that, I just couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Stop using the word rigid.
Yeah. It was
sort of ruining things.
We got it with cement.
Well, that's what
I
it
said
is,
cement.
Though. You don't have to go rigid. Come on.
That was weird.
What was people's response to Daniel Radcliffe? On the streets or wherever you went?
Oh, I mean, it was like Bieber. Like wherever we went, we had to hide him and people screaming. Him and Franco specifically, those fans were hardcore. They were all over there.
Really?
And they're so good with them, actually.
It seems like they would both be great with them. I mean, we've interviewed them and they just are the nicest, kindest, most...
I love Dave Franco, but he seems like an easy, approachable guy. I wouldn't think that people would freak out meeting him.
Oh,
because
no, they
the
do.
Thing about, really? Because with Daniel Radcliffe, it's understandable because he's such a, you know.
He's an icon.
Iconic figure. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So,
well,
what an experience for you making a movie this big with this many people and this many moving parts. Sounds like you had a lot of fun, though, John.
Yeah, I couldn't have imagined, you know, when I was a kid, I would imagine of working with the greatest actors of all time. But I could have never imagined it being one movie.
Right.
And a movie about magic.
Right.
So it was a really great experience.
When you go home tonight, are you going to go, thank God, that project. Like, how long did you work on it? A couple years?
Yeah, a couple years. So tonight, as the movie comes out, I'm so excited for people to see it. I think it's a movie for the whole family, whether you know the first movie or don't. I love movies when everyone gets to enjoy it. And it's magic, and it's this amazing cast. So it's going to be a fun adventure, and I can't wait to share it with everyone.
Well, I do see online that now you see me 3 has already been announced. So if well, that's true, is that true?
Well, it's up to the audience, of course, if they go see it this weekend. But, you know, we want to be prepared in case. So I'm attached and we'll see what happens.
After the first movie, Now You See Me, was there any question, did it ever come up even for a second to name this movie Now You Don't? I mean, somebody had to have thought of that, right?
That's like the number one question I get on the road right now.
Right?
And it's true.
It have been dumb or would it have been a good idea?
No, I was fighting for it for sure. But the marketing team spent so much time and energy on the last movie to sell the words Now You See Me, which is a tough title.
Right.
The idea of a don't in the title, I think, is like...
Yeah.
But 3 will definitely be still seeing me. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now You Three
over
Me.
Here, right. Over here.
Now You Three Me.
Me.
Oh,
yeah.
Now boom. 2 3 Me.
I like
one.
It.
Oh,
so, pretty good.
It.
Like it.
Like it.
All right, John, you're doing some good work, my friend. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Well, it was 6.7 K-Rock. It's KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
The always hilarious David Koechner joins us in studio coming up just after 9. First, though, we heard from Kevin Bean listener Lou Thomas this morning. He prepared another of his little tribute songs. Allie, you're going to be very excited. This one is for you. This is as a result of a conversation we had on yesterday's program. Won't you please enjoy?
What was that movie where Halle Berry was in it? Was that
Catwoman?
No. And the guy...
What about that other
Die
movie?
Another tomorrow
the guy that dated Madonna, the older gentleman, but now he's been married to the same
we're
woman forever.
We're not going to give you credit for whatever this is.
Wait. You know what movie I'm...
No!
Stop like, just listing celebrities and relationships, hoping you'll stumble into a movie.
Bull
Durham?
No.
Oh, I know. You're talking about Bullworth.
Warren Beatty.
Warren Beatty.
He was a congressman.
He was not a president.
Oh. Yeah.
All right, here's the...
Was Peter Sellers a president?
Okay, shut up!
Buckle up and hold on tight, because it just might take all day. It's a never-ending journey on the train of thought, McKay. There's a lot of words and people, lots of places, dates and times. This adventure that we call the hamster wheel of Allie's mind.
Right?
Wow, that is touching.
Very good. Yeah. Quite a roadmap to the thought process that goes on in Allie's pretty little head. So thank you, Lou Thomas, for that.
Get it together, Allie.
Right? Get You're it right. together.
Can I also just apologize to reducing Warren Beatty as that older gentleman that dated Madonna?
Well, right. Multiple Oscar winner Warren Beatty, right. Very funny. All right, yeah. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Friday. What's going on?
Yeah, sad news if you're just waking up. We lost an absolute legend. You know him as Mr. Hockey. Gordie Howe has passed away at the age of 88. He played 26 seasons in the NHL, 6 seasons in the WHA, the World Hockey Association, and he still holds the record for most games and seasons played. If you missed that, 26 seasons
of
in
hockey.
The NHL.
Get my head around that. I mean, look, Kobe Bryant seemed like an Iron Man for playing 20 seasons of basketball with the Lakers, okay?
Yeah.
This dude played 26 seasons with the Red Wings.
Yeah. Well, 25 with the Red Wings. Then
right,
he came
sorry.
Back and played with the Whalers.
Gave
but
the census.
But, yes. You're such a Red Wings hater.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Never
the worst. He won the Stanley Cup with the Red Wings 4 times, 6 Hart trophies for the MVP of the league, and 6 Art Ross trophies as the leading scorer, and was an NHL All-Star 23 times. I mean, that's insane.
He's the man who invented Booyah.
He is not, but he probably could have. I mean, he was just that good. He suffered a major stroke in 2014. But he passed away at his son's home in Ohio at the age of 88. And it got
Get him the hell out of here!
Okay, Trump, no.
Take it easy.
My God. It got me thinking about, remember Cameron from the movie Ferris Bueller's Day Off, his best
yes.
friend. He wore the Gordie Howe shirt. And then I was thinking, wait, but that movie was in Chicago. That's weird. But I looked it up. And although, obviously, John Hughes, he's well known as this Chicago guy, that was his kind of adopted home. He grew up in Michigan, and by having Cameron wear the Gordie Howe number 8 shirt, that was just a nod to his hometown and his favorite player, which I thought was really interesting. And after Gordie Howe saw it, he wound up sending a personal note and took a picture of himself in a shirt that says, Leisure Rules, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, with, did I say the number 8?
I did.
Mm-hmm. I Bobby Orr'd him. I'm sorry. With the number 9 on it. So he kind of became buddies with his idol.
That's pretty cool.
Which is huge. Good stuff. So rest in peace, Mr. Gordie Howe. Bean, remember when you you decided to change up your whole trip, come back from London so you could see the Grateful Dead for that one last time?
Well, that was it. Yeah, they were hanging it up after that. It was my last chance ever in my lifetime.
Right. Then they, of course, announced like 2 weeks later a whole slew of other shows. Right. Well, if you are to believe it, Black Sabbath, this is it. This is the final time. This is it. The final three Black Sabbath concerts in America ever will be on November 8th in Tulsa.
This is it. I mean, this is really it. This is the final curtain call. And when I say this is it, it really means this is it.
Yeah. That was Ozzy. So November 8th in Tulsa, November 10th in Houston, and then the grand finale, November 12th at the AT&T Center in San Antonio, Texas.
Until the announcement
until
of
the next
year's dates?
Yeah. A few months later where they're like, just kidding.
Look, they're just going to play until all of them are dead.
Well, that's possible.
Okay.
All right. This is interesting, and I want to get your opinion on it. Angelina Jolie is working on a new film about a girl living under the Taliban in Afghanistan. Variety says The Breadwinner is an animated movie about a young Afghan girl who cuts off her hair, disguises herself as a boy in order to support her family after the Taliban imprisons her father.
Okay.
Who's this for? Because it's a very heavy subject, but it's animated.
I have read a story about, maybe it's about this girl that they based this movie on, mm-hmm. and it was a fairly compelling story, but it doesn't, you're right, it doesn't seem like something you would take your kids to.
Right.
I would see it, though. I would see an animated movie if it looked good. Of course.
You would, yes. Yeah. But would you take, say, a five-year-old kid to go see...
Well, maybe not. But you asked who it was for. I'm saying maybe it isn't for five-year-olds, but other people would go, I think.
Animation is an interesting choice for a topic like this. I agree with Allie.
All right. Either way, the film's out in 2017, Kevin.
Okay,
so
I'll mark that down.
Circle that on your calendar. All of these stars were born today, June the 10th. Comedian Bill Burr is 48, actor DJ Qualls, 38, as well as Shane West, also turning 38, Lily Sobieski, 33, and Kevin's girlfriend, Kate Upton, turning 24 today. I'm Allie McKay, in for Ralph Garman, walking... okay. Showbiz Beat.
Comedian, actor, writer, producer David Koechner in studio, back again with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He has been in over 120 films and TV shows. Mr. Koechner, name them.
all right, let's start from the very beginning. I couldn't even tell you what my first one was.
Let me look here.
This only goes back to 1995, what I'm looking at.
That's where it started. Oh,
has
Saturday
SNL.
Night Live,
SNL,
right?
Yeah.
And then the Jamie Foxx show was after that.
Hold on a sec. The first time, this can't be that the first time you were ever on TV was on SNL.
That is correct.
Really?
What?
Yeah.
Who starts on television on Saturday Night Live?
Old Hobo Jones does.
does. Wow. Welcome to America, ladies and gentlemen. That's fantastic. Anyway, how you been? We haven't seen you in a little bit. Last time we saw you was last October. You were in the Scout's Guide to Zombie Apocalypse last time we had you on.
Yeah.
So you've been, good?
Yeah, great, great, great. And I was out of town when Krampus dropped in December, so I couldn't get in. I was in Toronto shooting a drama. So, when Krampus came out, it was December, right? Or maybe late, it was December. So I didn't get to come in to these hallowed halls to chitter-chat horror comedy.
It's always good to see it. Have you done a lot of dramatic work, David?
Recently I have a little bit more. I did a thing a couple years ago called Full Circle, which was a series on audience television for DirecTV. And that was about some crooked policemen in Chicago who were in cahoots with some mafioso types.
And not that I didn't see it, but what part did you play?
I was a crooked cop.
Okay.
And what else? Cheap Thrills, which we've talked about several times.
Yes, that's right.
Is more dramatic. And then I did a movie last year called Priceless, which is about human trafficking. Not very funny.
Well, it depends on how you do it. No?
But you put a comedic spin on it, right? Depends
on how you handle that one.
Yeah, we did. That comes out in October. And then I did The Headhunter is Calling with Gerard Butler and Willem Dafoe.
Wow.
And we did that
So the world is yours, basically.
Yeah, it should be, right?
I mean, honestly.
I put my time in.
Whatever you want, you get.
That I wish.
It seems like
unless
that.
I'm at home. Then I just do what I'm told.
Yeah, you're last on the call sheet at home. We know that about you, David.
You know whose room I sleep in? Mom's room.
What does this mean?
Well, if the kids, if they're looking for mom,
right.
Where okay. are you? You're in mom's room. It's not mom and dad's
right.
room.
Okay.
Right.
It's mom's room. I don't really even have a place
they
in
don't
my
even,
house.
If your mom's not, if your wife's not there, they don't call you dad's room?
No, it's not dad's room. Still mom's
Ever?
Room. No.
Even when mom's not there?
No.
So you're a visitor to your own planet.
Thank
basically.
You. What's going on? Thank you.
I am so impressed with how many comedians or comedic actors can really play drama. And I think, I mean, there's so many great examples. You know, I was just watching some Albert Brooks over the weekend and I was thinking, my God, he's a great dramatic actor. There are so many people who can do that. And I think they are unfairly not considered for a lot of roles because they may be so well known as a comic actor.
Yeah, the people think maybe he can't. Or she can't possibly do that. But when you think about it, a comic is always looking inward to develop material and share it with people. And
right.
that's the same thing an actor is supposed to do when you're breaking down a script. You go, well, what's this mean to me? How do I relate to that? And I think, you know, comics are always trying to relate to something
right.
inside themselves and then deliver it to.
Do you think most of them could be dramatic actors?
Yeah.
Just based on that.
I think so.
I think so too.
It's a matter of trust where you trust yourself. Just go ahead and be and trust your instincts as yourself to say it plainly without too much push. I like to bring out a big bat and swing for the fence every time,
sure,
no matter what it is.
Sure. And that's why you rule the world.
If you think you're going to walk me, I will step across the plate and swing at that thing. You know, if the manager gives me a sign to bunt, like I missed it, I think I went ahead and swung pretty hard.
Speaking of baseball, this is the voice of David Koechner here on the Kevin DeBeach Show. We will talk about his upcoming appearance at the Flappers Comedy Club in Burbank. That's going to be tomorrow night. Two big shows, 8 and 10. And I do want to talk about that. Tickets on sale now at flapperscomedy.com. But since you brought up baseball, you've got this charity event coming up in a couple weeks or next week in Kansas City. Now, you're playing actual baseball? Are you playing it where the Royals play baseball?
Yes. Kauffman Stadium there at the the World Champion Royals. Let's,
right, of course.
Let's go ahead and get that out of the way.
No, they deserved it. They're a great team. So you're stepping out onto the field where these guys play baseball every day.
Yes. We do a celebrity softball game at Kauffman Stadium. And there are a bunch of guys from Kansas City, Paul Rudd, Jason Sudeikis, Rob Riggle, Eric Stone Street, and myself, who do a charity for Children's Mercy Hospital. And,
nice.
And we bring in a bunch of celebrity friends, and we have a celebrity softball game.
Do you bowl as well?
We do bowl.
Yes.
Thank you.
I gave money to the Big Slick.
You did.
I got stickers. I got
You bowl at the baseball stadium?
I don't think it's the same place.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, there's clear on that.
This multi-tiered
a different thing.
Bowling alley. They've got like 20 lanes, and so people can buy a chance to bowl celebrities.
Yeah.
It's another way to raise money. And so we have the baseball game. So we have the softball game. Then we hang out for the baseball game, sing the seventh inning stretch. Then the next morning, we go visit all the kids at Children's Mercy Hospital.
What a downer.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Well, they look forward to it.
That's actually the best part. I mean,
that's the best part.
Yeah. We make two visits. We go Friday morning, and then we go
and
Saturday.
And then ones that are left, you go Saturday.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Gene.
Wow, you're a terrible person.
You're the worst.
Wait a minute. It could be optimistic. The ones that are left
because they were discharged.
Because they were so
healthy.
Yes. That's absolutely not what be meant.
Well, I will take him at his best, even though he's always at his worst.
Yeah.
Because they were sad and sick, and then Paul Rudd came in, and they went, oh, my God, I have new life. And then they get out of the hospital.
That's what you meant, of course.
Because of his overwhelming charm, yes.
Right. David, can I tell you a really funny story about a celebrity softball game that we were at?
Yes,
they
please.
They played a celebrity softball game, and there was a woman from Univision, and she had high heels on, and she was playing in the game. And apparently she knew none of the rules. So she got a hit, and the infield sort of let it go into the outfield. And the baseball, the base coach said, keep going, keep going.
Oh, no.
Meaning round first and go to second. She stepped on first base and ran straight into right field. I was like, how is that possible?
Wow.
The dirt itself should be a clue, even if you've never seen it.
There's a track.
There's an actual dirt track that takes you where you're supposed to go.
How do you drive, lady?
Oh. It was so great.
Straight into this house.
I just thought I was going to die.
Can I take a stab and say she was super hot?
Could be.
Yeah.
She actually
could be.
Was.
She was pretty hot. Yeah.
I don't think that gets much consideration in our society.
No, especially that not on matter. Univision. Yeah.
So now you say, and good at math? Hey, now. Guys are impressed.
So, Mr. Koechner, I look at you and I see world-class athlete, but how are you at playing softball?
I'm fair.
Are you okay?
Yeah, yeah. I can do all
what
that.
What position do you play?
Well, in this particular thing, we all switch around.
Okay.
And it's just
Where's your strength?
It's kind of a goofball game. I would say probably left field.
Okay.
Maybe third base.
Is there any part of you that reverts to a little kid when you're running toward first base in a big league stadium that you probably grew up listening to the Royals on the radio playing baseball, and you're that guy now?
You mean crying and crapping my pants?
Right. Yes.
Well, that wasn't part of the question, but
I mean, do you get a thrill out of that, out of playing
yeah,
ball?
Oh,
like
yeah. I mean, that's a kick. You're right where. Again, the world champions are
right.
playing.
You mentioned that.
So
said
that's
that already.
Yeah. World champions right. in all the world. They're the best
right. you
team.
Mentioned that.
And there could be 2,500 people in the stands watching you, right?
Up to 2,500. It's a smaller stadium than most people realize. It's a tough
a
ticket to get.
Every game's a sellout.
All right, we got to take a quick break. Our friend David Koechner is here. Flappers Comedy Club in Burbank. Two shows. See the man doing stand-up at 8 p.m. and then again at 10. Tickets are just $20. Come on with that. FlapperCOMEDY.com. More with David right after this on Kip. David Koechner in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You know him, you love him from everything, and you can see him live and in person at Flappers Comedy Club in Burbank. Two big shows, 8 and 10 this Saturday night. That's tomorrow night, you guys.
Yeah, that's this weekend. I don't know if you had plans. Cancel them. Come on out to Flappers. And here's something people don't really know. If you go to church normally on a Sunday, a lot of people do, you don't have to go if you come to my shows
on Saturday.
Yeah, you get a special dispensation.
That's fantastic. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because you give them what they would normally get from church?
I just have an agreement with a lot of pastors.
Okay.
And so bring your congregation down. Let's have a good, dirty old time.
Okay.
Like
we're all going to learn something about humanity. I'll tell you that right now. Mostly the people in the audience. But I will say this. If you like church, my show is better than church. And if you don't like church, it's a lot better than church.
So, that's the way you win.
If right? That's not a ringing endorsement from myself.
Right. And you would know. You've seen the show.
Yeah.
Do you have the same people stick around or buy tickets for the second show? Does that ever happen?
I'm sure it has.
Yeah.
I don't think – I should say yes.
You should. I mean,
I should have just said –
I sort of teed it up.
Yeah, you did.
I'm sorry.
And I went, let me kick this golf ball off the tee. Huh?
It's getting too close to the hole.
I took the golf ball and I put it in my mouth. Is this how you play?
You want me to try it again? Do people go to the 8 and the 10?
A lot of times they'll pre-purchase tickets for both shows.
Still a bit of a stumble.
Still in the rough. I'm sorry.
Wow. Stumble a bit. Do people sometimes go to both shows?
They will go to both shows and ask for a third.
There you go.
Nailed it. I have a serious stand-up comedian question for you, Ms. Koechner, and that is that you have been an actor forever, and you did a ton of improv and still do. But you're fairly recent in your career to stand-up, just a few years now, right?
About 5 years, yeah.
Okay, so tell me about that day where you said, you know what, I'm going to walk up there just by myself at a microphone and entertain these people.
Well, I've always done solo character pieces, and I've always done live for 30 years, so it wasn't strange to me to go on stage by myself, because I've done just, you know, at the old Largo, I used to do character stuff all the time.
Improv, though,
Joe's right? playing a character, right?
Yeah, usually in those types of things. But to me, it's the same thing. You're just playing a part on stage, and really, a stand-up is doing the same thing, because they've got a persona or point of view that they're just going to get out. So your relationship with the audience is the one you're having, as opposed to your relationship with your scene partner on stage. So it's not vastly different. I mean, the thing you do have to keep in mind is that you've got to cover, you know, maybe an hour of material, and that's probably where the difficulty might come in, is just you. And if you're boring people after 5 or 10 minutes, you've got a long road to hoe.
Yeah.
But after so much improv, does that help to
absolutely
to then start your career? You didn't have the disasters, I imagine.
Yeah, probably fewer. In that I'd had quite a long time on stage before I did stand up, and it was probably less intimidating. And is it a better story to go, no, I was scared to death, man? And
I think, because
you know, improvisation is just developing material and generating material. So if something doesn't work or does work, you know how to follow that vein, if you will.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And if it doesn't work, you just drop it and go on to something else.
You do a lot of audience interaction?
I do some, not a lot. I think it's important to have a little bit bit of a happening for every audience. And that's why people usually come to multiple shows, because they're always different. You never know what you're going to get. And
you'll have a different conversation with the same person.
Yeah, I don't even know what's going to happen. I've never had talked about the same subject with my wife once in 18 years. So we are a fresh couple, very fresh.
You do have, I mean, as most comedians do, you do have your own unique way of looking at the world,
yes.
Right? I mean, you'll see a scene that we'll all see and see it a little bit differently. That's the beauty of your kind of mind.
My point of view, just stop it. Will you just stop it?
Just stop
Knock
it.
Knock it off. You're wrong. You're doing it wrong again. Let me show you. I'm exhausted by having to teach the world, but I'll teach you too. You know, the other day, when you went to the other day, I don't know if you guys voted. Anybody in this room vote?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes, everybody. Wow, we've got quite a quorum here. There were 34 people running for U.S. Senate. And
I voted for all of them.
Did you? You can only vote for one. They voided your ballot,
really?
Just so you know.
I was happy with that.
I like to consider myself, you know, an astute viewer of politics. I was a poli-sci major in college. And, you know, next to each person's name, there's a parenthesis to tell you what, to give you a hint for this pop quiz of what these people do, what former congressperson, former district judge or beekeeper. There was one guy that was curious, and I don't know if you remember this one. Do you remember the guy, stay-at-home dad?
No, I don't.
That's what
he nearly voted for him, stay-at-home dad. But then I thought, wait a minute. If you go to the U.S. Senate, who's going to watch those kids? So I did not vote for him.
So it worked against him.
It worked against him. But that's what I feel like my responsibility is, doing stuff like that. Like, I have to decide for the people that don't go and vote. I'm, in a way, a super delegate right here.
I agree. Yes. FlappersComedy.com to buy the tickets. Wow.
I'm not sure how we got there, but I admire it.
I want to ask you one more thing, because I assume we'll see you, David, before Twin Peaks comes out. But you have already shot a role for the new David Lynch is Back with Twin Peaks.
Yes.
There's probably very little you can say about it.
That is correct.
Are you a backwards talking guy?
Oh, I hope you're not. Please don't.
I tell you what, it was wonderful. It was a wonderful experience. And there was some fun weirdness when I was there. And I'm so delighted that I had that experience. It's one of the...
David Lynch is a genuine genius that's also crazy.
I don't know about crazy.
I would
say inspired.
No, he's crazy, and you know it, David.
He's a crazy genius. I only know
that
he's delightful.
And, he is delightful.
And inspiring. I will tell you, one time, he did give a note to me and two other actors were in a scene, and he said, now, just pretend like the wind is going to give you this information, and you let it come out. And I thought, wow, this is so awesome. That, where do you get a note like that?
Right.
And all of us knew exactly what he was talking about.
That's just not true.
It is true.
Okay. He's one of a kind. I mean, you've worked for 100 different directors, but there's no experience like a David Lynch project, right?
He's among the top ones, that's for sure. I don't want to take away from anybody. Who's the worst? I do have one that was the worst, I'm not going to say his name.
Okay.
What movie?
It was a movie I was in.
I thought I could spring it on him.
You teed me up three times and I couldn't do it. Like, this will be easy. He's easier than a domino. Let the wind make that domino fall and give me the name.
All right. You don't have to tell us any of that. Just tell us what year and what your character's name is.
It was The Big Picture Show of 1938 and Bob Hope.
Wow. Okay. All right. Okay. I can't wait for that Twin Peaks. Can you tell us who you were in scenes with?
I can't.
You can't even tell us. Can you tell us anything about the character that you play? Are you a cop?
I cannot tell you.
You can't. Right.
They've asked me not to, so I'm going to respect
that. Okay. Well, that's fair.
I mean, I'm happy enough to be able to say that I was in it. So.
Yeah. No kidding.
But, yeah.
You don't want them to cut your scene because you told us something?
I don't want them to cut my scene for any reason, whether or not I said something about it or the wind didn't quite... blow the right way.
Before we say goodbye, Mr. Koechner, you're going to be on stage tomorrow night at the Flappers in Burbank. You're probably going to be talking about your kids a lot.
Yeah.
What do they think about being fodder for your stand-up material?
David has 17 kids, for those of you that don't know.
Do you get a lot of, Daddy, don't say that?
A little bit, but not too much, because I'll tell them the jokes I say about them. Like, okay, they kind of have a tacit approval a little bit. And I will sometimes write jokes and give them to my 17-year-old son, who's got a pretty good comedy mind. And I will, you know, sometimes it's three pages of stuff, and he'll be in the other room, and I'll kind of slowly peer around the corner because you don't want to be on top of him when
right.
you read him. But he'll come with that. Pretty good, Dad. Pretty good. Pretty good.
And is that the best you can get?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Because he will tell me if he doesn't like what I've posted on Twitter or Instagram.
Is that right? He yes. reviews everything you do.
Well, yeah. He wow. does because he follows me. He's like, okay. Dad, you need to knock that off. I know you think that's funny. That's not funny. That's just weird. I'm like, I don't care, son. I like weird.
Are you, and I understand one of the toughest things to be as a parent is the cool parent. Do your kids look at you and go, oh, my dad's so cool?
Well, I guess, it's mommy's room, Bean, so
yeah,
well,
yeah,
that's
exactly.
true. That he answered that before.
I guess your dad first, and in situations where there might be, if we get to go to a red carpet event, that's cool. So that keeps
right.
you... You know, in good
stead. Gives you a little credibility.
But by and large, no. You're just, a corny old person who's there in the house. Like, you're trying too hard, Dad.
Right.
Leave it alone. Stop it. That's
but
not,
they love
by the way,
that
that's
you,
not funny.
But they love that you occasionally will get a phone call from Will Ferrell. I mean, that kind of they let you stay in the house just for events like that.
Yeah. Right? It's cool. There have been a few premieres where, like, Will has done a movie for kids, and we'll go to the premiere, and he'll come up to the kids and say, hey, what's up, Charlie? I mean, they feel pretty special
That's cool.
about that.
And none of them are named Charlie, which,
which is really weird. Odd. Which is really odd. He doesn't know my kid's name. No, it's fun. And, years ago when we did Saturday Night Live, when Paul Rudd was hosting right before Anchorman 2 came out, One Direction was on the show. And so I flew my daughter out, who was 12 at the time.
Whoa.
Perfect.
To see that. So I've won that one.
Yeah.
I certainly have won that one. So we rehearsed Afternoon Delight in Will's dressing room, and it's smaller than this studio. It's half this size. So we're all crammed in there. So she's literally 2 feet from all the boys in One Direction.
That's so weird.
Yeah. So I think that was about as best, as good, as well as I can do for my daughter.
I'm jealous.
Yeah.
That's
seriously.
So that's the fun stuff about show business. We can do something like that. So.
Well, it's always a pleasure to see you, Mr. Kechner.
We're huge
fans of yours. We love having you on the show. Have a great time tomorrow night in Burbank at Flappers. It's a great room. Doing 2 shows, 8 and 10. Go to both, folks. That's what I hear is the way to go.
That's
right?
the way to do it. Yeah,
see them both.
Better than Christmas and Hanukkah combined.
Correct.
And you don't have to go to church on Sunday.
And then you don't have to go to church.
No
right?
church.
FlappersComedy.com. Tickets just $20 tomorrow night. Mr. Kechner, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:43.
Almost done for another week here on the program. Allie's got another look at the showbiz beat, though, here on a Friday. What's happening?
All right. Earlier, we found out that the Tennessean had reported that CMT had picked up Nashville. It was done. Awesome. But
well,
we were
expecting an announcement on the show the other night.
Well,
right?
we were expecting it on the Country Music Television Awards on Wednesday night. Didn't happen. So when I woke up today, I saw an article in the Tennessean that said, it's happening. It's back. Hulu's going to air it as well. But in the same thing, it said this was according to sources familiar with the talks. So nothing confirmed. And I was waiting until it was absolutely confirmed. And it is by CMT, Hulu, Lionsgate, and ABC Studios. It is official. Nashville will return with a brand new season on CMT.
And now, breaking news bulletin.
A little slow. On that, but Hulu will also continue to bring the fans their favorite series 24/7 by making all Nashville episodes available to stream the day after they air on CMT. So in case you don't have CMT but you have Hulu, you are in luck as well. No word yet on everybody returning, what's going to happen when they're starting shooting, any of that. But great news for Nashville fans.
Well, I still hope they do the Nashville Empire crossover episode that we've been all waiting for.
We
had talked about that before because those are both music shows that are on
sure.
at the same time. Wouldn't it be fun?
She's
Raina
doing it at all.
Raina doing a duet with like Young Thug or something, you know?
I like it. You know what? I'm on board now.
See?
That's very good. Yes. And if you missed it, horrible news. Legendary hockey player Gordie Howe has passed away. Age of 88. And we've been talking about it all morning. How, you have a great career. Wonderful. But when you have a career that spanned 26 seasons in the NHL and 6 seasons in the World Hockey Association.
Right, good old number 8, right?
Number nine. But then you think, okay, he spent his first 25 seasons with the same team, with the Red Wings. That's astounding. He still holds the NHL records for most games and seasons played. But he also won the Stanley Cup 4 times. with the Red Wings. He has won 6 Hart trophies as the league MVP, 6 Art Ross trophies as a leading scorer, and was a 23-time NHL All-Star. There's a reason he was called Mr. Hockey. This man, he's a legend, an absolute legend. So very sad to hear of his passing today at the age of 88. And if you were one of the lucky ones last night, you headed out to Jack White's Third Man Records in Nashville for a surprise show. And in walks a band that would later be playing at Bonnaroo, a band called Pearl Jam. They played to 200 people.
That's pretty cool.
That's phenomenal. It wound up being an eclectic 9-song, hour-long set packed with rarities like 90s deep cuts, Hard to Imagine, Let Me Sleep, alongside with fan favorites from 2013's Mind Your Manners and Deep from 1991's 10.
I've been to this Third Man Records, by the way, and mm-hmm. that little area where bands perform is smaller than the Red Bull sound space.
Wow.
So you are crammed in. And yeah. as I think you mentioned earlier, they do record those performances. Yep. And a lot of times they end up putting them out on vinyl. So
yeah, they recorded it directly to acetate. So no word yet on whether it will be released. But Jack White did join him on stage to do a version, an extended version of the unreleased Pearl Jam song, Of the Earth. So huge night. Can you imagine? You're like, oh, we're going to go to Jack White's place, see if anything cool
Check
happens.
Check stuff out.
Just Pearl Jam.
Pearl Jam. Okay.
That's unreal. Yesterday, we talked about Justin Bieber got in a little scuffle outside of a hotel, the Westin in Cleveland. Well, now reports are emerging that a man named Lamont Richard, he was there with two of his girlfriends. They had just left the bar when they saw him outside, and they thought, oh, let's chat with him for a minute. Chatted, things were going great, but then they made the big mistake of asking him for an autograph and a picture, and Bieber responded with, no autographs tonight, mother effer. Oh, that's when things took a turn. Bieber apparently took a swing. Lamont restrained him. And I don't think I mentioned Lamont Richmond is 6'5". He looks in the video to be well over 250, probably closer to 300. The man is a wall. And word is, if he went full force instead of just restraining him, he probably would have killed Bieber. And here is Lamont in his own words of what happened.
Yo, check. The fool ran up on me. I was with the girls. We just asked the for autograph. I don't know about all this other stuff y'all talking about. You know, I ain't got nothing else to say.
Well, he doesn't have to say much because he's already met with lawyers and he plans to sue. That's according to TMZ.
Is he claiming that he got hurt by Bieber? Is that what he's suing about?
I think any time a celebrity even lunges at you, people are going to sue.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Do you have to be hurt to be assault? Like
I don't think so.
If Bieber hits him and really a full punch, which would not hurt this guy, he could still sue him for assault.
I think even a shove, even touching, yeah, if that's assault.
All right.
You feel good about that?
No, I'm just saying.
I don't think Bieber could punch his way out of a screen door.
Why would he want to do that?
It was locked. There's no other way out.
Couldn't get out? Another, like the windows were...
Nope. It's the only way out of this.
An example,
house.
Kevin, of a flimsy thing that he couldn't punch his way through. The point was that he doesn't hit hard.
Okay.
Explain it more. I don't think Kevin's quite got it.
I'm good.
All these stars born today. June the 10th, comedian Bill Burr's 48. Model Kate Upton is 24. Actor Shane West and actor DJ Qualls both turning 38 today. And actress Lily Sobieski is 33. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Allie. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness that's paying off for all of us, because this afternoon we have a commercial-free drive home at 5 p.m.
Thanks Honda.
Thank you, Honda. Join us Monday morning for an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have Sean Hattasy on the program today, and comedian Jay Moore joins us as well.
Or Monday.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Not today, as much as Monday.
Pass it over to me.
You're a
today,
dream.
Today's over.
So,
don't bogart that joint, my friend.
We're not doing another hour.
Yeah, right. Just join us later.
Pass it over to me.
Yes, let's give our listeners a treat.
Roll another one.
Boner.
Just like the other one.
No! No!
This one seems to be about to quit.
And I don't listen to women yelling. I tell them to shut up.
Another hit.
Hang him up, hang 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 up. Hang it up. Hang it up. Hang it up.
Roll.
Happening.
This one seems to be about to end.
Oh, yeah, so sorry. He's racist.
I don't have another cent.
Thank you, my Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
But don't want to guard that joint.
So get ready for that Macy's Day Parade.
Let's pass it around.
All right, you guys are a couple of assholes. You know that?
Don't want to guard that joint, my friend.
That show sucks.
The mic has been dropped.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Get out of my house now. I want you out of here. Get out of here. I'm not kidding. Get out of here. You go to hell. Come back here. Come on. Don't go.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
So that's coming up tomorrow as well. We'll be right back.
Will we? Thought we were done
after these words.
Go Ducks. Bye, guys.